And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, January 7th, 2012, our first show of the last year. The Seven Frogs episode, I'm Scott.
I'm James.
I'm Jeremy.
I'm Matt.
And in this episode, we talk about, we just kind of catch back up on a lot of stuff. Ghost Recon PC issues that came up, DRM that has to go along with that. Go over some ideas for what may happen with World of Warcraft. Probably nothing, but it's got some MMOs that one released and others coming up that could take away from it. Narrative gameplay, games to watch online instead of actually play them. Batman Arkham City is discussed. Also, the ATI video cards, can you add a little bit on that? Games that we couldn't bring ourselves to like for 2011 and games we're looking forward to in 2012. Let's see, and Star Wars The Old Republic is discussed as well. Lots of that. Emails, tweets, if you want to get in touch with us, it is everyone@ingamechat.net. That is our email. For Twitter, it's @ingamechat. And also, don't forget to join us for the live show, the webcam. You can talk to us in the chat room there. ColonyofGamers.com is the place you want to go if you want to talk to us on the forums and to get episode recaps, that sort of thing. So, and ingamechat.net as well, so... That's how you can get in touch with us. Is there anything else I'm leaving out? We haven't done this in so long. Anything?
Can't think of anything.
Okay. Enjoy the show.
I can't really tell. Crackdown feels like a really long time ago.
It does.
To me.
Yep, February of 07.
I remember calling from Cutter.
Yeah, you weren't even in town.
No, I was in Iraq. I was coming back. I was right as I was, the very first episodes, I was ran to the MWR tent in Qatar to call you guys, and then 2 hours later I was heading on the plane.
Do what?
To come back to the States.
Oh, okay.
Let's see, according to this, our 6th episode was recorded on the 9th of March of 07.
And we did those weekly at the time.
Yes. So go back.
It'd be the beginning of February.
Okay.
I thought it was right at the first. In fact, I thought it was Groundhog's Day, but I can't remember.
Yeah, that'd be the first week in February.
I thought it was February 2nd of 07, because I thought that was, we did them on Fridays, right?
Shit, I don't remember.
I think the first... time we were doing them Fridays because EVAV Radio was Friday night and we would come on right after their show.
Oh, right, okay.
Reminiscing. Let's go. 2007, Friday, February 2nd.
Yeah?
Was the first Friday in February.
Cool. So in one more month we'll have our 5-year anniversary.
Man. Yep. 5 years, and I haven't updated the numbers. Nor have I totaled the numbers.
So how many episodes we got?
Completely total, yeah. I haven't updated the numbers.
It's time enough to figure that out later.
Yeah.
Just ask one of the listeners. I'm sure they'll...
There's so many different ways you can count that too.
I don't like to think, but my mind thinks that nobody follows us like that. But then we get an email that surprises the shit out of us.
Yeah, start of the episode, the very first one, and go all the way through.
Let's start. Let's get to some. Let's do emails first.
Mix them up.
Let's be different. God, Nabokov wrote us on the day before Thanksgiving and wanted to tell us about the Ghost Recon no longer being on PC.
I remember us missing that by just like a minute.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They further shoved their head up their own ass by saying their DRM is a success and saying later that 95% of PC players will pirate their shit. The short version is that Ghost Recon Future Soldier content will be incorporated into Ghost Recon Online. This likely means no story, no quality workmanship and design, and no high-quality graphics. Before I rant, let me just say I've been a lifelong Ubisoft fan, and they are by far my favorite of any developer with their Ghost Recon and Rainbow Six games. I'm considering never buying a game from them again until there's some recourse on this issue. Part of me could take the bus, train, jet down to the Ubisoft offices and riot until they change their mind. Part of me could email them or petition to them to look at the facts and demonstrate that PC games sell, but I know either of those will accomplish nothing. This piracy bullshit is rampant, especially when it comes to developers trying to find reasons not to put things on PC. It's a million times easier to Google an Xbox game and get a rapid share link than it is to download 20 gigs of could-be Trojan on PC. Where does this 95% of gamers will pirate the game factoid come from? What do you think will happen to the fate of classic games like Rainbow Six, Ghost Recon, and other classic strategic shooters on the PC? Will there ever be another PC-focused Ghost Recon or Rainbow Six game once Ubi realizes that is where the people that love those games lie? P.S. Remember when last E3, the BIA trailer, was played and it looked fine until they had the logo for the game? Then we were all pissed. Brothers in arms, I guess. I feel like the guy who made that decision is heading up the company. This is fucking ridiculous.
What did they do to Brothers in Arms? I don't remember. I remember
it was the four-player Inglorious Bastards looking.
Oh, that's thing. What it was. Yeah. I remember now.
It was Gearbox.
Yeah.
It was Borderlands in World War II.
Yeah. I haven't pirated.
I remember because I wasn't particularly upset.
I wasn't either. Well, I was more upset that I'm like, oh, it's just a video. We don't know how it's going to play, what it's going to do.
Yeah.
But the video was very similar to the intro of Borderlands, where it focuses on, like, this is Brick, your tank, here's your, your soldier, yeah. Here's your whatever. So,
I haven't pirated a game really since Steam really, took off like it has, with the Steam store. I haven't had a need to.
It doesn't matter. Whether piracy happens or not is immaterial. Piracy happens, and that's going to. It's not even a factoid for him to say 95% of blah, 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 blah. It's a lie. It's just a made-up bullshit lie. That's all it is. And it's not worth paying any attention to whatsoever. I don't like to boycott groups of I don't like to boycott publishers. Most of them have catalogs that are so huge that they're going to do something I want to play.
Yeah.
So, whatever. I just don't... I don't buy things I don't want to buy. And I don't have any illusions about that having a positive effect. As a matter of fact, I think one of the least true statements is that you can vote with your wallet by not buying a game. I don't think that's possible. How many people don't buy something? I don't know. Like, do they not... Whatever that number
might
be.
They don't judge it. They always judge by how many people do buy.
Right. They kind of judge... They judge by how many people buy, but they have an idea. And they want a lot of people to buy it. And they see that a bunch of people didn't buy it, and a bunch of people pirated, and they assume that those are the same people. They also assume that those are the only people, like, who didn't buy it, or something. There's really no room in their heads for the fact that, A, your game's shitty, and that's a big problem. Really good games with shitty DRM will sell really well. That's the secret. Really good games sell really well.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's problems, sometimes. Sometimes it's delivery method. But on the whole, if you make just a really excellent game that a lot of people like, not a brilliant game that a few people like, not a cult hit or whatever, but if you make Assassin's Creed 2 and put draconian DRM on it,
it will sell.
It will sell, and people will be very angry, but it will sell.
They'll flame on the message boards, but right. Yeah, they'll buy it.
So I don't really know what to say about it, other than their assertions are almost completely wrong. Certainly, the idea that games don't sell on the PC is wrong.
Yeah, they are and have been for a long time the furthest behind of the major publishers in understanding the PC, mm-hmm. And they don't seem to be getting any closer to understanding it. So, I feel really bad for anybody that is a really big fan of Ubisoft published titles.
And needs to play those games on the PC.
Yeah.
In my mind, they've long since been a console-only publisher.
Yeah.
Pay no attention to it. Largely, and it's not just the DRM. It's the fact that they're very bad at day-and-date publishing on the PC.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very, very bad at understanding the PC as its own machine. They're one of those groups of people who...
They don't understand their customers over there.
Yeah.
And if they do have a PC game, it's a port of the console.
It's exactly.
Nav says that 2 weeks after he wrote this to us, they announced that Rainbow Six Patriot would be coming to the PC.
Yeah.
But Ghost Recon is still... You know, they'll just get...
Well, Patriot... Again, Patriot was another thing that... What is this? This is a... Look at your movie thing here, I guess. And your tech demo or whatever the hell. We haven't actually seen any game. But... I don't imagine that... look at Skyrim. Whether you have fun in Skyrim or not doesn't really matter. You can look objectively at the menu system, at the interface, at all of the problems with setting custom key bindings, at everything that, at the spotty performance, all of the things that the PC people need, and say that the game was almost hostile in that way, in the ergonomic way, to a PC player. And Jesus Christ, did it sell.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the specific slant on the statistic, but it was the highest selling new game on Steam.
Yeah,
ever.
Ever.
I don't really have any other way. I don't know that I would ever bother to form another argument about PC gaming. It solves several in one. A, you have. I don't consider it draconian DRM, largely because it's simply folded into the Steam service, which I happen to like.
Right.
It's hidden behind the value add, and it hasn't fucked me personally.
Mm-hmm.
But I do, okay, fine. I'll even stipulate that Steamworks is bad DRM. Okay, let's go ahead and do that. But regardless of that, it's sold hugely because it's a really, 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 really good game. DRM, good game. Good game will always win. So if you're going to fuck the fight over DRM, just make good games. Make really good games. Second, delivery method is vastly superior to retail. It is the new retail, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
This is how people want to buy games.
All of those people... before, you know, it even comes out. Hey, yeah. It's released, you can play it now.
I don't want to paint everybody with the same brush. I will admit that there are a lot of people that might have legitimate reasons for still wanting old plastic discs or something, but you're all going to have to get over it because this is more proof that this is how it's going to work, and not just on the PC. I'll turn into kind of a child if I can't get something on Steam sometimes. And I'm not even, and I like the idea of competing services intellectually. But if a new game comes out and it's like... you can sometimes feel... You know how if something comes out and it's not on the Steam store in the UK? Mm-hmm. Or we don't have a pre-release date for it on Steam? We all sort of turn into dumb babies. It's like, where's my game? I don't understand. It's not on... why isn't it here? This is where games go. They go, mm-hmm. Here. Where are they? And so when something's missing, it just seems foul. You know, it's wrong. I'm going to store. Buy it on Steam.
Mm-hmm. I remember for the longest time, Quake 4 wasn't on Steam. And when I got the id pack, I was like, why don't I have Quake 4? Yeah. When I have it right there on my disc, on my shelf. It's over there. Yeah. Why is it not already here?
No, this is simply how it's going to work. And this isn't a circle jerk about Steam. This
did you
is
get
simply
your gift?
Yeah, 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 okay. Yeah,
that's another thing. That's kind of nice to do.
Yeah, it's really nice to do. Third, it proves that kind of game is actually still very popular when a lot of people have argued that it isn't.
Yeah.
That it's an the idea of the game is popular, but the game itself isn't actually all that popular. Really? Really. Steam just passed the 5 million concurrent user mark, largely due to people playing Skyrim. And that's just on the PC. I don't know anything about what the numbers are on the consoles. But open world, open-ended, very long...
Non-linear.
Non-linear gameplay is still not just kind of popular, but ridiculously popular.
Yeah.
And finally, most broadly, it proves that PC games sell a lot. So, I love Skyrim, I love Steam. But the point is simply that this is the object that everybody should be paying attention to. And I don't understand forming any other argument, none at all, to examine why Steam games are so good. With the exception of, there's a Total Biscuit did a really good, like, little 10-minute bit on his YouTube channel making this very point. And he got a little more granular, you know, talking about the lifespan of a catalog. You know, that on the shelf console game is good for a year, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, until it turns into fodder for that specific retailer's used games bin.
Mm-hmm.
But he specifically mentions one of the games in the XCOM series, which is still selling on Steam. It's a 20-year-old game. You can't even trust a 20-year-old car. You can't even legitimately buy like a 20-year-old car. Or something like that. You can play a 20-year-old video game. It's still selling. Mm-hmm. The catalog still moves and still has relevance to that community. To the retailers. To anybody who happens to hold the license at the time. Yeah. My point is, getting angry about it, posing arguments, even going and rah-rahing in front of the studio executive's home, it doesn't matter. If they can't see it now, if it isn't crystal clear to them, and if they aren't adjusting their business models to accommodate the obviousness of the truth, then there's no moving them forcibly. There's the only option left to us, which is voting positively with our money.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say, as far as things historically that have actually succeeded in getting DRM reduced to less draconian versions, it's been the customers buying the game that complain about it to the mm-hmm. company. In forums or help channels or whatever.
This is screwing me over.
Yeah, that's the only force that's ever seemed to reduce DRM.
Yeah, that's not very good though. That's I don't know. I'd be unwilling to sacrifice those people and their money and their enjoyment just to make a point.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather people just never buy it.
Yeah.
I'd rather a company choke itself on its DRM. So,
but that's how most of them have learned their lessons about what sort of DRM is acceptable. Right. I mean, Ubi still has somehow not managed to really get their head around that.
This has made sense historically because there were fewer concrete examples of better behavior being more profitable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was still arguable that you couldn't really see, well, this is doing super good for doing other things.
Right.
This is only slightly off topic. Did you buy the Louis C.K. thing?
Yeah, the $5, yeah.
Yeah, the $5 thing, I don't know if you guys saw that. He did it. And this is, I mean, it's whatever, it's him, and it's a comedy routine, but it's very interesting that he has only kind of like a vague internet understanding. He's Louis C.K. But he did his self-funded, you know, show, like,
I can't remember.
Can't remember where he was, but he did a self-funded thing, right? And he's got people around him, he's got lawyers, he's got advisors and all this other stuff. And for whatever reason, and I'm not sure who suggested that he do it this way, he wanted to try something.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to release this stuff not the way you're supposed to release shit. He didn't want any DRM on it. He didn't want to make you have to sign up for a bunch of shit to buy it.
Even though he really didn't know what DRM was.
He had no concept of it, but there were obviously competing interests telling him, no, you've got to do this. You've got to like put all this shit on it. Gotta lock it down, make it impossible for people to move it from one place to another. Because if you do that, if you give it to the internet, it's done. You'll never make any money. They will steal it from you, and all your money is gone. And I actually did a big thing on Reddit about this. We came and talked to Reddit and was like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, so here I am, but I hear you like me, so tell me what's up with this. And so he did this thing, and for like $5, he was like, $5, whatever. You just go to the site, you click a thing, and you buy it, $5, no DRM, whatever, like, download it, and do like whatever. You know, I'm not a corporation, I'm a guy who spent some money and made a thing.
Don't even have to sign up to a mailing list or anything else.
And it's through PayPal, but you don't have to have an account, you can go, shit. Spend your $5 fucking dollars, your stupid little $5, and buy my thing. And he went on, what was he on, Kimmel or something?
I think
he was on Kimmel talking about this. And he was like, this was like days after he did it. He's like, I don't know how all this works, but like I do everything, I do my banking through my phone. He's like, I got like $1 million. He's like, I just gave this thing to the internet. I asked them to spend $5 on it. I gave them no restrictions. Everybody told me it would fail and I would run, like they would eat me alive. But they all bought it for like $5. And he's like, it's too much money. I had to give it all away. So he gave like 3/4 of his money away. He's like, it's too much. They gave him too much money.
He covered the expenses of like shooting it, the rental of the place, everything that. He covered those expenses. He gave his staff all Christmas bonuses as much as he could. And then the rest of it, I think he threw in the charities.
Hey, it was all these just different charities.
Yeah.
But it was like, it was an interesting experiment because there was a body of people saying, you cannot do this. You absolutely cannot do this. There's no circumstance under which you will not lose all your money.
Isn't that typically the old system, though? It's the dinosaurs, the recording industry.
But it's not even just the dinosaurs. Like, it's anything that's in control of the distribution of non-real things, of a video recording of a man telling jokes.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't a thing, right? It's no more a thing than a downloaded game off of Steam. Somebody spent money to kind of put a production together, but that's it.
Yeah.
And he did what Steam, not exactly what Steam does, he did better than what they do. But he delivered something at well under normal market price for shit like this, with no restrictions on it whatsoever. And it proved a point that people like us have always been trying to make. The point that the Humble Bundles have been making for for ages now. And you would think, oh, it's a fluke, right? No, it's a fluke, this one time. They're all so happy to get something at low cost with no DRM that they'll pony up and they'll behave this one time. But they'll revert back into their trollish ways. That's exactly what they'll do. And it doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
You've reached this level where people are happy to give a few bucks here and there for the things they like.
Yeah.
And you sell it at such outrageous, like, comical volumes that you make so much money you feel compelled to give it away.
Yeah, given a choice between, like, a Big Mac or a Louis C.K. video, you know, people are like, well, fuck, I'll just skip off the Big Mac.
You're obviously not a Louis C.K. fan. You buy both.
Oh, you buy both? Because, I mean, it's $5. You can. You know, I mean, that's nothing.
It falls below the threshold of I have to give a shit about this. And I'm not even trying to say what that threshold is, but the point is it's a thing. Whoever the hell was suggesting to him that that's a thing you need to do is somebody who obviously
understands
where things need to
be. He got the biggest raise.
But, and I, you know, again, Steam is whatever, but it's there, and I'm not saying it's where everything needs to go. The weak part of me says, yes, it's where everything
is. It's nice, everything. Like we've always said, nice under one umbrella.
And it's just so, so easy. New game prices there can be actually kind of shitty.
How long was A10 and DCS A10?
Yeah.
$60?
Yeah, it's kind of shitty, you know, but it's all publisher stuff. Yeah. We do know that. And the DRM is a thing that actually has to enter into the conversation. But the point is, these aren't secrets anymore. That's the point. That's all that matters with all my fucking running my mouth. These are not secrets anymore. The stories are so big you can't avoid them. And if you refuse to learn what the Black Obelisk is telling you, like, you know, what the spaceman has come down and presented to you as the path to the future, then go fuck yourself.
Somebody else will pick the bone up and bash you in the head.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, Go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself with your whole catalog full of stuff that I really, 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 really want to play. But I have no choice otherwise. So it's whatever. It's also inevitable. It's as inevitable as any other movement in in modern society.
Which is why I don't really get upset about it.
Yeah, you know, it's
inconvenient now, sure, but
right.
They're not going to win anything in the end by that behavior. They're going to lose.
All I can really hope for out of this is that at least fucking Bethesda will be like, look where everybody bought your game.
Yeah.
Please, for the love of God, treat this like your lead system. Let this be your flagship system.
Well, clearly Bethesda's learned all the Steam lessons. I mean, they marked the thing down to $40 mm-hmm. during the sale.
They've learned the pricing lessons. Mm-hmm. They have not learned
design lessons
to accommodate the design.
Right. Which isn't specifically a Steam lesson, but that is a lesson.
Only in so much as Steam is exclusive to the PC.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's fair. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing to keep in mind. Now.
Maybe with the sales numbers, now the next game they'll come out with, like, we should really look into
Oh, I'm sure there's people saying that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that
whether or not they listen,
they're not being paid attention to, not enough. You know what I mean? But even that can be forgiven. It can be forgiven because it's a really fucking fun game, mm-hmm. And it wasn't cheap, it was full price, but holy shit.
I've definitely got my $60 worth.
I hope they don't ever figure out how much more their game is actually worth. Seriously. I mean, by the time I quit to go play Old Republic, I had 105 hours in it. And yeah. It was like, I felt like, I'm at a three-quarter kind of place with my time in the game. And if I actually just pushed through to do everything the game had to offer, 150, easy, Fucking game. So, I don't know. The lessons are out there. If somebody's not learning from them, then you can't make them. Nothing you can do will interfere with their bad decisions.
Next email comes from Daniel Phelps. So, I'm bored, this was sent on Thanksgiving. I'm bored as fuck, goddamn family I barely remember has the TV tied up, and I was made to promise not to drink any liquor until later tonight.
What? What time of day was this, Sam?
3 PM.
Man.
Yeah.
I'm like that old lady in, what was it, Spanglish or something? It's like the
clock ticking. Before noon.
Oh, nope.
It's good.
For the record, for Thanksgiving, I took my own monitor to the in-laws, so.
Did you just take the monitor? You took your PC.
I took my PC and my monitor and all that good stuff, so.
Never rely on an in-law for anything. I take my own liquor. Well, actually, no, but never mind.
I gotta ask about World of Warcraft again. James may be the only person who can give insight into this, but I've been doing some reading. From what I can tell, a big chunk of WoW's players don't really even like the game, citing their reason for staying as, this is where my friends are. If that's Warcraft's largest draw for so many people, wouldn't that mean that the only reason Warcraft is so big, in terms of subscribers, is because it is so big? The reason I bring it up, several big MMO contenders coming up, as well as Eve's hopeful return to grace, all of which will leech subs from Warcraft. I know WoW's been around for years, I've never touched the game myself, so I'm looking at this from a distance. But I wonder, fucker's been the king of the ring for years and years. It's been said any number of times before that WoW was close to dying. While I can't necessarily see that happening in entirety, I have to wonder what kind of numbers they're going to lose over the next 12 months. Entire groups of people will go on to Star Wars or to Guild Wars or even to EVE. If the population thins enough as a result, it's highly possible that even more people will go on to other things. Domino effect, I guess. You guys think World of Warcraft may finally regress a little bit? Ever since I was a teenager, I've heard nothing but slanders against WoW. You're young.
That's awesome.
Lots of stereotyping and flurries of degrading comments about the game, even from people who play it, leading to a really shitty idea of what the game really is. It's hard for me not to hate it, and I have to wonder, assuming that most of the subs would move on to other MMOs, wouldn't that be a fantastic thing? Lots of dollars going into other MMO developers who wouldn't have to compete with WoW. You can't say the word MMO and not have Warcraft come to mind, which could possibly be detrimental to the idea of playing an MMO. It did for me for years and years. I have to imagine that applies to others as well. I know it's perhaps wrong to hope for the death of something that many people supposedly enjoy, but again, looking at it from a distance, it seems like the effects its destruction would have are entirely worth it. changing perhaps even the popular perception of an MMO and perhaps allowing more people to get into them. What do you guys think?
Well, as somebody who doesn't play WoW, because I know you, this is mostly going to be your thing.
I mostly just want to say, go ahead and take it as a sign of your own. Be cool with the fact that we wouldn't peg you as a youngster, as a little young one, yeah, unless you dated yourself. So that's very happy and good for you.
As somebody that doesn't play WoW, that only played it for a minute.
Same here.
Most of the people that trash WoW and talk bad about it have never played it.
Or have only played it for a minute.
It's the reason WoW was as big as it was is because it was and is a really, really good game. It's the best at what it does.
Yes.
The reason that nothing else has been able to come along and steal its thunder isn't because of WoW's inertia, although it's got a lot of inertia. It's because nobody's been able to come along and do as good a job as WoW has done.
That's very true.
All that said, right now WoW is losing a lot of subscribers.
And it actually already is in contraction.
Yeah.
Whether it's going to start or not is not the question.
It's already happened. It's been going on for a better part of a year now.
Yes, it is. And it has... it's had a lot to do with how they've designed their own game. And because of the inertia WoW has maintained over a long period of time, when they stumble, when they change their pace, it's very awkward for them. And that translates into design decisions and how those things make their way down into the game. And that's what led people away, was, yeah, you could say, okay, Rift came out. Mm-hmm. Last spring of 11. And that gave people the opportunity. It gave people some reason to think, I'll unsub because I'm not happy, mm-hmm, and go do something else that might make me happy. But it began with the fact that they just weren't happy with what was being given to them in terms of content and how the game was being managed. People who play MMOs, you have to understand the psychology of what happens. You've invested a lot of time. People don't expect material returns, but they expect to be able to build on their experience. They expect to understand how the game world works over a long period of time, to be able to work toward a thing. It's not a question of, this awesome sword is going to suck one day 2 years from now, so why bother? Nobody gives a shit about that, because the awesome sword is awesome right now. There will be another awesome sword, and you'll go get that one, and it'll be fun when you do it. What sucks are dramatic changes in the landscape. And the longer the game moves along, the deeper a rut it carves for itself. And the deeper that rut, the less comfortable it is when you try to shift out of it, mm-hmm, if that makes any sense at all. So when major changes occur, people again, psychologically react really badly. And I do understand this. I had a character I liked, and this is a guy, and I like playing him. I like the way it works. I liked the rhythm of how his skills worked. I liked the things he was designed to do. I liked my place in the group, his perceived level of strength. You know, those matched the things I liked to play. My skill with him was well above average, and that was what it was. And then Blizzard decides, for whatever reason, to change that. And my guy changes significantly. And I don't just mean dramatically. And all of a sudden, everything about it, all of the subtle things, the rhythms and the timings and the perceived strengths and the real strengths and how it matches to my style of gameplay, they're all out of joint. Mm-hmm. And now I'm grumpy. You know? And it's not dramatic. I don't mean to suggest that these are great, huge problems. They seem like it when you're down in the rut.
Right.
In reality, no, it's just a video game. But I was having fun. Mm-hmm. I was on a trajectory with my friends. And we were doing things together, and it was a great place. And all of a sudden, I don't like this thing anymore. I don't like it. Now it's like, well, I have several options. I keep doing something I don't like, mm-hmm, you know, or that I like a lot less. I stop playing altogether. Or I can go back and start over with maybe a different kind of character and hope I like that.
Right.
This is the problem with an MMO as it gets along in life. It has a lot of people. It does have a lot of inertia.
And this is all of them.
Yeah. And its design becomes kind of consistent. And the more you change it, the greater the population grows, the more inertia it gains. And the bigger its design, the bulkier its design. And when you decide to make huge shifts, you know, throw your weight around, it's very bad. And Cataclysm, the thing they released a little over a year ago, was the largest single heaving of their weight from one place to another. And it was just too much. It's very simple, but it was too much. And it disrupted their workflow. It disrupted their design. You could argue that the arrangements they had with the player base were already strained, all the relationships, you know. And a lot of the communications channels had been severed, and they had long since quit being able to figure out what people honestly wanted. But that's because they're being shouted at all the time. And that's the other problem, is that, and I don't know why it is this way exactly, but you will never, ever find a more psychologically violent group of fans than MMOs. It's easy to think they're not really that way, because they're not actually in the world, but my God, they really are. They don't like change at all, and it's very, very hard. And if you get enough of them, any change is going to be bad for a significant percentage of them.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently somewhere in the high single-digit millions is the best you can possibly do in an MMO. Above that, you reach some kind of critical mass, and on a long enough timeline, you reach a critical mass where change is simply catastrophic, and no change is catastrophic. If you don't do something, people get tired and bored and leave. If you do something, and it's no different at all from the old thing, a lot of people will get tired and bored and leave. Maybe not as many, but a lot. And then if you really try to fix old issues and go off in a new creative direction, and it isn't just the bee's knees, you're fucked. And they're kind of fucked. This is the first time they've actually been legitimately in trouble. So, having said that, there have always been things that have come along that kind of pull people's attention away.
Mm-hmm.
None of them have ever been particularly good. Mm-hmm. We did a lot of speculation, you know, a couple shows back about how Old Republic was going to be in that regard. And I don't know whether we want to go into it right now or not, or save it for a minute. But
we might want to save it for a minute. I'm pretty sure we've got some stuff coming up in the tweets.
Yeah,
definitely.
I would go ahead and argue very simply right now that still nothing has come along to challenge WoW as a good game. WoW, fine, you hate the cartoony graphics, which I've never understood. They're applicable across an enormous spectrum of PC stuff, and they're all design. They're lush and they're beautiful.
It's a fantasy setting.
It's vibrant and colorful. And there's a lot of depth in it that you couldn't possibly get from any other kind of art design. It isn't just to be cartoon. It looks like Warcraft 3. And whether you want to say that's cartoony or not, I love it. I think it's perfect. I don't want to see everything done like that by no means. I've always thought that for what it is, it's perfect. And if you're turned off by the graphics, I certainly won't deride you for it, but I don't want to hear the argument. The other things, I don't know. Whether you kill an internet dragon again, well, fuck you. All we ever do is kill internet stuff together. MMOs to me, I don't like PvP in MMOs, I will say that. If PvP is your thing and you hate it because of PvP, or love it because of PvP, I will just let you go. I don't like it. I love competing against people on the internet, but not in a fucking MMO. I like to do it with a pretend internet gun in my hand, where we're all more or less on an even
equal
playing
footing.
I'm very good at those things, which might be why I like them so much, but it works with my brain, you know? To me, MMOs are huge co-op games. That's all they are. We're the smallest organized group of co-op is like four or five people, and you all get together and you cooperate and you do good stuff, and it's timing and communication and knowledge of your skills and your class, and it's good, you know, you do the thing, even if it's kind of the same every time. So I like that. That's a thing for me. WoW is very good at that. It's very good. It looks good. This feedback system that the game has, the audio-visual feedback system, the timing of the gameplay, just that undefinable sense that what I did just actually happened somewhere, be it a spell or the swinging of an axe or something like that. It's very good. I mean, it's... Even if you don't know why you like it, your brain does. Something in there, the timing and everything is just, it's very well done. And for a long time, the reward systems have been very good. And just like you said, no one else has actually come along and done this. They have traced the lines of Warcraft. They've laid the tracing paper over it and copied what they perceive to be the highlights and the form of Warcraft. And they've missed it entirely, which is astonishing because the game is open for full examination by everyone. And if you can't do the math on why it's a good game, then I don't think you should be making MMO games. I don't. I really don't. And if you can't get over the fact that Warcraft has come along with its legions of detractors, I mean, with its armies of haters, and all of the vile children that it gave a voice to, and you know, all of those MMO gamers that everyone seems to hate so very much. If you can't look at the game and say, yeah, I hate all those things, but God damn it, they really figured out how to make this system and this system and this aspect and these sets of skills and all of these things work and just feel good. If you can't do that, and if you then feel the necessity to rebuke that game and its people and to set yourself in your imagination apart by ignoring the design decisions made in this guy over here, you again deserve to fail. You deserve it. And there you go. I don't know that WoW is a good game to go play right now. I don't. And I have not logged in since Old Republic. And so I can't say. I don't think what they've done right lately is very good. And I know they're trying.
Well, the barrier to entry to WoW right now is extraordinarily high.
Yeah.
You have to buy WoW and all of the expansion packs.
Yeah. At virtually no discount to you.
Yeah. Because there's really no point in playing WoW without all of the expansion packs.
Right. And particularly since it takes you no time. They've reduced the level of time to you know, a week of gameplay time or something. I mean, it's nothing like
the real game is, from what I understand, at the end game.
Well, in an MMO, the real game is always at the end game. That's the problem.
That's why I said, from what I understand, you're the MMO guy, so I get that all that knowledge from you. So.
Right. I think
it's free from levels 1 to 20.
But it's also... I mean, levels 1 to 20 is 4 hours of gameplay.
That's like walking through the mall and somebody handing you a shrimp, right?
Yeah. Its time has come. I mean, they're big. They have a lot of money. They're going to keep pushing the cart forward. And they'll probably do some interesting stuff. But their time has absolutely come.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. It'll contract, you know. It will not supernova, but it will definitely contract, and something else will come along. That thing will not be Old Republic, but something else will come along.
Next one's from Mitch in Minnesota. It says, "Fellas, it's been a while. First things first, I can't believe I've been listening to this podcast and the Giant Bombcast and sing the praises." Some louder than others, of Batman Arkham City for weeks on end and have yet to hear one Escape from New York reference. I'm disappointed. I don't know that film. I've seen that film maybe once or twice, but
yeah,
I don't know enough of it to make a relation to.
It's been too long since I've seen
it. It's not... I don't even know that they make any specific references or anything. It's just kind of a...
It looks like a dungy...
It's a prison city. New York was a... It was a penitentiary in that movie. Mm-hmm. And you were... I mean, you. Jesus Christ, because everything's a game in my head. Plissken was sent in to rescue the president.
President.
Mm-hmm.
Why the fuck was he flying over New York? The whole thing made no goddamn sense. It doesn't matter. It was the 80s. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it was... Ed's definitely there.
Yeah.
I guess I just figured somebody out there was making the reference or something.
Nope. Maybe Mitch in Minnesota was.
Yeah, right.
Ready to go,
maybe
Mitch.
I've gotten kind of hard-headed and just wasn't paying enough attention.
Well, I moved into an apartment and decided to declare independence from my cable TV. It's okay, I don't miss anything. Maybe sports, but I live in Minnesota where every team is horrible. By the way, the Vikings are threatening to leave. Does Birmingham or Montgomery want a pro football team slightly used?
Hey, all right, on that note, they don't believe in pro football down here.
No, they don't.
No.
College football. They don't like pro football.
College rules all in the South.
Yeah, you don't understand. They hate professional sports down here. One of my favorite pastimes... My personal favorite sport is telling people down here how much college football sucks. That's how I get my exercise.
Yeah, really. Because then they start chasing. Joke interlude. Why are the Vikings purple? You would be too if you'd been choking for 50 years. So, I've been watching a lot of Netflix streaming and YouTube, and what I watch on YouTube, other than videos of dogs falling into swimming pools, is walkthrough videos of video games. I like it. It saves me the trouble of buying the games, and I get to see the narrative without the distraction of playing. Before I go any further...
This is how we handle Ubisoft games.
Yeah, you get to handle the distraction without playing, as long as they're not giving some stupid running commentary while they're giving you the walkthrough. Mm-hmm. Nothing I hate more than that whole...
It's basically some schmo talking.
People who narrate gameplay... I mean, whatever, we're fucking five schmoes talking. Whatever. But if I was narrating gameplay, I would... The one thing that I ache for every time I... This is a recent thing because Old Republic leak videos were about the only way you could get any information about the game, prior to its release. They were horrible.
Almost any leak videos. You sent me a text saying, you know, everybody who puts up a leaked video on YouTube... is either a douche that talks over it the entire time, or somebody who doesn't know how to play the game.
Yeah, and these are the two very, very big problems that I've seen. And this has been going on for years. And one thing that everybody really wants is a well-narrated fact. This is why, again, I referred to him twice, but I'm a huge fan. Total Biscuit, like his bread and butter, or his biscuit and butter, whatever the hell you want. Is it biscuit and jam? Is that what you guys have over there? Or is he talking about a cookie? I can never find whatever. His,
Ben Drago's in there. He'll let us know.
Okay. His fucking payday is about nothing but talking about a game and being decent while playing it. That's it. That's 90% of what he is being able to not even necessarily intelligently, but in a controlled way, narrate gameplay. And I'm pretty sure everybody on YouTube or Mega Video or something thinks that's what they're doing. They have to, but it's almost impossible. I watched probably 400 leaked videos of Old Republic, and I was no richer in information afterwards than I was before. I saw some colors flash around, but I could never tell what was happening because every one of them was a PvP video with some bullshit music playing over it. Or like some dude like squeaking through his nose at his friend on Skype, you know, about like how Twi'lek's head dicks were bugging out and like clipping through the helmet. I mean, it's like, fuck you. Like, talk about the thing. It's not, you're just spewing out data. This is not information. I need information. And that's, there's no information out there, dude, if you're watching people's gameplay videos. Yeah. Unless you've found some magical YouTube channel.
That just has the video.
Right.
Now, before you all have heart attacks, I'm a 41-year-old accountant who works about 11 hours a day. I barely have time to play Thief. I bought Deus Ex, the first one on Steam, and I'm saved in the training mission. I haven't even touched GTA 4, which I also got on sale, so I like watching the games, especially when I'm watching a real pro. I've seen all the Modern Warfare series, some Bad Company, Black Ops, and I'm just finishing up the Medal of Honor reboot. I think Medal of Honor's my favorite so far. I remember playability issues with that one and a lack of distinction between it and Battlefield, but just watching is a real kick, much better than all Modern Warfare except the first one. Modern Warfare and Call of Duty games are just a cacophony. I think I get that right.
Yes.
Hey! So loud all the damn time.
It's good cock in it.
Yeah. The comparison between Medal of Honor and Black Ops is very clear for me, at least. The soldiers in Black Ops are supposed to be these elite silent killers, experts getting in and getting out, but man, they sure do have a lot of loud firefights in that game. The soldiers sure do seem to go loud all the damn time. As the Alaskan-born Alex Mason would say, blimey. In Medal of Honor, there are firefights, but it's usually when you're playing as a ranger, getting dropped into a hot loading zone.
Nice.
Going back to that again. LZ is 100% American, Alex Mason would call it. When you're playing as a Tier 1 operator, you can move swiftly and silently, kill quietly, and when you're discovered, it's not this long, loud slog of cover-based attrition, duking it out with respawning enemies. So there's a perverse take on video games today, plus my two cents about Modern Warfare 3, meh. Modern Warfare 1 is overall much more fun to watch, probably because it's not so hyper-kinetic. You have a chance to digest the narrative. They have been one-upping themselves every game, so I can understand why Modern Warfare 1 would be better to watch. Any suggestion of other games to watch? I'm thinking maybe Arkham Asylum or Just Cause 2. Thanks for the great podcast, and as Mr. 100% USA Alex Mesa would say, g'day, mates.
I've seen an actual, I downloaded it actually, it's a video clip of someone doing a full playthrough of Grim Fandango. That's all it is, just watching someone, you know, playing that game.
That's going to be a little bit tough, because, I mean, it's an adventure game. A lot of what's happening is your own wheels spinning in your head trying to figure out the puzzle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not to mention a lot of the fun from those games comes from when you're not solving puzzles and clicking on the wrong things and getting, you know, random dialogue from Murray or whoever, you know, so.
However, if it's, I would add the caveat, and this is...
If you're just looking for a good story or something.
Yes. Also, if it's a well-narrated piece of gameplay.
Yeah. Yeah.
If somebody were to talk to you in that place where, you know, again, we're talking about good quality, I mean, like, Attenborough level of narration here. Which, why can't that exist?
Yeah.
Right? Why can't I narrate a video game like a BBC Nature documentary? You know? Like, these are the thoughts that are actually proceeding through my head, and you'll see that, like, this is here, and under normal circumstances on a first playthrough, because keep in mind that a playthrough isn't the same thing as, isn't what you see when you're playing isn't what other people are going to see when they're watching. It's very different. Mm-hmm. I mean, you notice how fucking angry, like, when we've watched the live stuff. It's God damn it, what are you doing? Why are you doing this thing you're doing? It's wrong. Do this other stuff over here. I have always felt, and this, I tell you what, my recommendation, anything in the Resident Evil series.
Yeah.
Mine would be the Uncharted series. I think that's one of the most watchable.
That is a watchable
video games ever. I would be curious. My suspicion is it's not very watchable, but I'd be curious to see what happens if he tries to watch a playthrough of Mirror's Edge.
Hmm. That was a really fun game to play.
That was really fun. Yeah.
Although, if you're talking about a person who doesn't have time to play games, that's a good game to play, because it's only like...
That's true.
8 minutes long.
And pretty damn cheap at this point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
$15 right about now.
Cheaper on PC from time to time.
You say Resident Evil, Dead Space probably would work too.
Yeah. Yeah. I say Resident Evil because if you look far enough back, before... the modern internet, even, you know, the mid-90s, there was a big thing that I used to do with people. Like, we would play Resident Evil games at somebody's house.
They'll sit around and watch.
And with, like,
yeah.
Trading dudes controller. And their girlfriends, and everybody's girlfriend would be there, and, like, somebody would make margaritas, and, like, you know, and, like, break up the... do things you guys don't do. And then, you know, and then, like, put the kids to bed, and, like, turn off all the lights, and then... No, you combine the red herb with the green herb, and then, you know, because you, right? and, you know, just all this stuff, and it was a big group activity, yes. You know, and then it was like, everybody would scream, and like, it was a horror movie, and everything,
yeah.
It was really, God, damn,
that was a lot of
really
fun.
Yeah, really watch, fun. God, we tried that with,
We did it with Condemned.
Condemned,
yeah.
That's right.
Made my wiener shrink up. It was scary. Condemned was a scary fucking game.
But we also broadcast it. We also did a live thing.
We need to find something to do that with again.
It's a tough thing to do.
It needs to be survival horror.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was tough because we were trying to get it.
Something we haven't played.
Focus it on the TV, and then what we need to do is get the signal directly from the TV in there and then have our voices mic'd over it.
No, you need capture and overlay and everything. Yeah. I can see exactly what you're going for. It kind of makes me yearn for a higher quality of production in that sort of thing, you know?
Bastion gets a lot of praise for its narration, so I don't know if that would... Yeah. I haven't played it. I only picked it up in the Steam sale because it was on... Okay.
You should, yeah.
I need you to tell me something. What? Why don't I own that game?
I don't know, man. It hit like $5 on the Steam sale, and I was like, boom, grab it.
It hit like $2.50 on a sale or something at some point.
Yeah.
And I just wouldn't buy it. I was sitting there, I was like, you know what? Fuck you. And I don't know why. I don't hate you. I don't know. It's like...
Was it not interesting?
Oh, it's really interesting.
So, what's the hold up?
I'm not sure. It looks great. People won't shut up about it, but
that's what it is.
It's a little bit what it is, honestly. It honestly
comes through.
Do what?
Your cantankerous nature comes through.
Well, okay. I don't know whether this is wrong or not. And I know I'm guilty of saying you need to do this. Mm-hmm. And I try to be earnest about it. I try to say, like, no, this is high quality shit I'm trying to push on you. And it's better for your brain, Jeremy, if you will fucking go home and watch The Fucking Wire. Please watch The Wire.
Oh my God, yes.
Please watch The Wire. It's good for you. Now, but as a victim of that shit, I get a whole bunch of people who are like, oh my God, yeah, blah, 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 blah. No, and fuck you. Now, I just added another year to not doing it.
It's the same mentality people get when I tell them I'm not into playing Final Fantasy.
Oh, well, Thundrago says that that's a good one to watch, too. Final Fantasy 13. Hell, I didn't play it very much.
Yeah.
Then what, Metal Gear Solid?
I would certainly rather watch it than play it.
Yeah.
Anymore.
Yeah, I do have that problem where people are like, "Oh, this is the everything." Well, it doesn't need my. Doesn't hurt. It's not hurting for my not buying it, is it?
Yeah, the I can't believe you don't like this game because it's such this.
And see, the thing is, I can look at it and go like, "Oh no, I really want to play that game."
What's funny is it was like really his bad. Interest in the game before it came out that prompted me to get it.
Mm. Yeah,
and it was great, but.
Nobody will understand, but it's the same as when you tell people that you don't like college football.
Yeah.
You don't like college, you know, that's the thing.
Well, but see, with college football, I could be like, they run the wrong way a lot, and they can't catch the ball. You know, I like to watch professionals who can catch the ball and, like, do fun things. This is a bunch of children running around and falling down.
Watching Dark Souls, I remember getting a lot of enjoyment out of watching folks struggle through different areas, the same areas I did when I played through it, seeing how they got through it and everything like that.
Now, I will also tell you that Just Cause is worth watching, not even for any kind of narration, just to
watch
see
the shit.
The situations are very emergent. And just, like, watch some dude do a thing. I was like, motherfucker, did you see it? Dude, shot it on the can and went
just
up.
Just Cause
2,
right?
Yeah.
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 That was really fucking great.
Saints Row 3rd crazy stuff if you want to see that in action.
Nabago brings it up. I'll just paraphrase what he's saying there. Is that a lot of the times when a game gets high praise that you haven't played yet, it sets you up for disappointment. For when you finally do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of want...
That's true.
You sort of want that heat to bleed off. You want it to decay, and you want to come to the thing on your own terms.
Yeah.
I watch a lot of television that way, where people are like, this thing! And I'm like, this thing! And then later, everybody shuts up.
He was pointing to his dick.
Yeah. And then later, everybody shuts up about it. I see it on Netflix, and I'm like, fine. I'll watch the IT Crowd. Yeah, so there you go. That's how it works. And I'm much happier because I don't have somebody looking over my shoulder being like,
isn't that funny?
Isn't it great?
Funny?
Isn't it great? Laugh! Damn you! So, but back to the point, God, it would be really cool to like produce like high quality narration of like recorded gameplay and with appropriate narration in those places where you'd be internalizing the gameplay. Mm-hmm. It would be hard to do. Really hard to do.
Total Biscuit does it well.
He does.
Yeah. Got a double, two emails here from Theodore Stromberg, who says, first email was on December 10th. Hey, guys. Don't know if you saw the news that GSC Game World, the developer behind Stalker Games, just shut down, which is sad news. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think any of you guys played them, but the first one in particular is well worth playing, even though it could be hard to get into. I think most people...
It was. Yeah.
I think most people quit after the first firefight kicks their ass a dozen times, but after you do beat it, you'll know how you have to play the entire game. The fact that you're quite weak and that the environment is deadly is important to the atmosphere, which is the game's greatest strength. When you become too empowered, you lose the feeling of a dangerous post-apocalyptic world, see Fallout 3. By repeatedly kicking you in the ass 5 minutes into the game, it teaches you to be afraid of everything right away. Anyway, this was basically just an excuse for me to tell you to play this game. It's worth powering through the difficult beginning. The game is really quite like nothing else once you get into it. I would say he is right, but I have not played it. But
I tried it. I begin to wonder if you can at this point.
Kevin praises it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He also damns it and curses it and hates it immensely. But he loves it too. So.
Then he writes us on December 21st, a few words on Batman. Hey, IGC. By the time anyone reads or hears this, Batman is pretty old news. It's older than you think. But there's not much new stuff coming out anyway, so what the hell. I thoroughly enjoyed the discussion you guys had on the game, but my perspective on it is slightly different. In open-world games, I'm usually not into doing all the side stuff, and on top of that, the story in Batman Arkham City has a great sense of urgency. As far as I know, there's no spoilers in here for listeners and for Jeremy. I know you're...
I still haven't played it.
You still haven't played it. Okay.
You should play that.
I know.
Everyone is pushing you to play this. It is so... We'll just stand over your shoulder and be like, see that thing Batman did?
Just pushed it back a month.
Yeah. The story of Batman Arkham City has great sense of urgency. The way I played the game was to plow straight through the main story without touching any of the side stuff, aside from getting the grapple boost. And when compared to Batman Arkham Asylum, I found the main story much less satisfying and also quite a bit shorter, though I may be imagining that, but I don't think so, because the first one felt really long. Arkham Asylum had very methodical pace, and there was quite a lot of both exploration and traversal baked into the main story. In Arkham City, however, the story missions are more straightforward and contain less exploration, and moments where you have to stop and think about how to progress. I realize that most of that stuff can now be found as optional content, and I bet that many people would tell me that I'm playing the game wrong by simply sticking to the main story. But on the other hand, I think there's an argument to be made that the main story missions suffer because of it being an open-world game this time around. When listening to your conversations about the game, I specifically noted that you all said you spent the majority of the game outside in the city. For me, it was the opposite, and the city was just something I traversed to go to the next mission. Might as well not have been there. In Arkham Asylum, the world existed to serve the main story with its Metroid-style progression and backtracking, whereas Arkham City... The open world is almost inconsequential if you just play the main story and instead exist to serve all the side content. That's not necessarily better or worse, but it's certainly a different game. I don't fault Rocksteady for making a different game, but I will say that I enjoyed Arkham Asylum a hell of a lot more. For me, the fact that the game had so many quiet moments was part of what made it special. Arkham City is more on all the time. I will also say that I think the first hour or two of the game was quite bad. We agreed with this, by the way. It had no flow. You were either overwhelmed by what to do or stuck with an on-screen prompt telling you exactly what to do.
Yeah,
I agreed with that. Yeah. It felt like a way to drawn out and heavy-handed tutorial. It felt like a way too drawn out and heavy-handed tutorial and almost put me off the game entirely. I was going to say something about Skyrim 2, but I'll leave that for another time. Merry Xmas, or perhaps Happy New Year, depending on when you read this. So there you go. That's an interesting way to play that game, because I didn't do straightforward. I did, you know.
I didn't. Not only did I not do straightforward, I thought that past a certain point, the main story was worse than the side missions.
No, I hated the main story. We all.
I hated it, again, past a certain point.
Yeah.
When presented with a theory, I guess, or whatever you can, sort of the. Your thesis for your story, right? At the outset. When my imagination... I'm playing a video game, and it's pretty explicit. And my hand is being held a lot in the narrative, and I'm being given a lot of information. So my imagination is at idle You know what I mean? It's just sort of barely doing its little thing. It's sort of trying to fill in a little bit of the gaps and, like, hoping for some stuff in the future. So, it's not running rampant, you know? It's not like a season cliffhanger on a TV show and I have to wait 9 months to see what happens and I've invented all sorts of scenarios. I'm just sort of, it's at a low state, running slow. And yet, my idea of what the story could be still far outstripped what it actually was. I thought it was recursive and dumb and just willfully avoided intelligent turns. To just kind of just hurry up and get to the end, you know?
Yeah.
And ignored a lot of its own statements from earlier in the game. And I don't want to do another spoiler thing. You know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Like with the strange stuff and then the Ra's al Ghul stuff and then how it did but didn't kind of have anything to do with the Joker and all this stuff. I was like, this is a mess. It's just a mess. Mm-hmm. At the point at which it should be coming together. You should be drawing threads together. It just sort of came unfurled, and it was like messy pubes, you know? I was like, yeah, this is horrible. Whereas all of the individual side stories, they were much more concise. They were very, really clever, some of them. And you get into them, and they kind of do a thing, and then they're over, and you're like, oh, that was... I could do that for some... I could do that more. I could do more of that. Catwoman, I could do more of Catwoman missions. I could do more Catwoman missions. And
Andrea says, isn't that the problem with open world games? The main story almost is the side mission?
Anymore? Yeah. Well, evidently, yes. Does it have to be? No. Why don't you take all of what you did in the side missions and do it in the main story? I mean, is that so hard? I don't really know. I don't presume to know. That was just my impression. And I'm only trying to contrast to what he said. I actually think it's really fucking wonderful that he felt different about it. And it's a thing, you know? I was not actually a huge fan of the first game. I did like it. I just thought, like, yeah, I'm inside. Like, but I'm Batman, you know? But I'm inside. I don't like this. I don't like being inside. I didn't like it. I felt constrained. I felt imprisoned. Mm-hmm. Maybe that was the point. But... I loved everything else about the game that I really regretted not being able to spend time in an open environment. And man, oh my God, how can you not derive ultimate pleasure from flying through that city and dropping like a dart into a group of guys?
Mm-hmm.
And just... far more than Asylum, they presented you with almost insurmountable groups of guys.
Mm-hmm.
In city, and it actually was possible to, you know, to get your shit pushed in a little bit if you got
too
aggressive, you know.
Yeah.
Especially when they upgraded to knives and shields. And
yeah, I liked it. Like I liked it. And there were some massive. Oh, when was it? It was when you were going. What was that giant fucking room when you were going in to deal with the Penguin?
The big fucking Iceberg Lounge or whatever.
But it was outside of that in the big arena.
Oh yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You'd go through there and be like. There'd be like 35 guys in there. And I was just like, oh, this is exquisite. I loved it. It was so good.
There was one at the end they got so good. More than that one.
But it, I mean, literally, we're talking about dozens of guys. And I was like, man.
Crap.
There is
crap.
No. Yeah. And everything was on the knife edge of fucking up when you're. And yes, it's all timing. Yes, it's all dodge.
Mm-hmm.
But you can only go so far with that. And you have to. Make aggressive moves at some point in time or another. Otherwise, they're going to whittle you down. And it was just felt damn good.
I was in that room you're talking about. I never, but that got to a point where I never went aggressive. I just let everyone come to me. Basically, right. Because I knew it was coming anyway.
And that's really, timing down. That's one of the ways to play that is to, I mean, there's a couple
Well, but now, but you're talking about like guys with the shield, like the guys with the shields, right?
Yeah, it was only one move that really did.
There was only one, but if you would like, you know, there are points and times where, if you're being kind of passive and you evade,
mm-hmm.
you have to sort of riposte on these guys. You have to, otherwise you'll never get a chance to deal with them.
And a lot of the times they have to clear the space.
Yeah.
Say, you know, I'm going to get to you, Shield Man, but I need to get rid of these guys on the side first.
The guys who would give you the map updates... The guys who
had
Riddler guys,
Oh my, I loved them. Because I could have just treated them like another guy and knocked them out, but I didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like that... that to me, or you know, like watch a Jackie Chan fight scene, right? Mm. And like one guy's like whatever, like Jackie Chan grabs a guy by his tie, right? Mm. And the guy's like trying to get loose and everything, and Jackie's like punches him in the face while he's still holding his tie. And meanwhile, with his other hand, he's beating up eight guys, mm-hmm. right? But he's still got this asshole by the tie. And every now and then the asshole decides he's going to fight back, and Jackie just punches him in the face again. That's what that guy was like.
Oh, who
was like, I yeah. can't just eliminate him.
I got to take him out
last. I got to take him out last, but he'll hurt me if I don't deal with him. So he's always in your peripheral vision. You always have to dodge him. You always have to be careful.
Like, you know, a couple of times you'll accidentally like go too far.
Yeah.
Like, oh, crap.
And it was very good. And all of those things were things I wanted but didn't know I wanted from Asylum. And Asylum did not deliver for me. Asylum was really great in like the Predator mode sense of stuff internally, but it never gave me the sense to quite literally spread my wings, which is what I wanted, which is why I liked this game so much better. Story-wise, though, and that's what I was digesting, it is inferior, I think. I think you can say that fairly. Although, you know, at the end and all.
So. I love the story with the exception. I love the second story, not the first story.
Yes, yes. I loved the first half of the first story. Well, it didn't do what it was supposed to
do. Well, yeah, because, I mean, for the first half of the first story, you don't necessarily know there is a second story. It always feels like, you know, I'm doing this because of this overall arc that's going on. It's not until you finish that first arc that you realize that, no, or not even then, it's
it all kind of collapses.
Yeah, it does. There is a split because, man, I was posting about this because Game Trailers did their Game of the Year stuff and that sort of thing, which their Game of the Year overall turned out to be Uncharted 3, which a lot of the internet was kind of pissy about.
I sure liked that game, but...
But whatever.
No. I'm afraid not.
Wasn't Kotaku's Portal 2?
Huh?
I think Kotaku's was Portal 2.
I don't read Kotaku.
Also, I'm afraid not. No. Batman, Skyrim, New and Minus Deus Ex.
Yeah.
I don't know why everybody like almost forgets that Deus Ex even happened. I have no idea why.
Dude, seriously, if you go into that thread, I read long fucking diatribe of like Portal 3, Uncharted 3, and Batman, and like giving the reasons and whatever and why Uncharted 3 won. I get to the end and I'm like, but those are just mine's opinions, and now I realize I left out Deus Ex.
Yeah.
Fuck. You know, because I totally forgot about Deus Ex, and it should be included in there in any one of these Game of the Year things, but we're talking about I've forgotten my entire point now of where I was going with this whole thing.
Game Trailers did their...
I know, we were talking about Batman.
We were posting something about Batman.
And I can...
Oh, you really did just sort of fall asleep inside of your head.
Came off the track.
Next email.
Next email's from Nabokov. He just wanted to let us know that the ATI Graphics 7970s got a review and what we thought of those. Did you look up the review?
No, I didn't look up the review, but they're not at market yet, are they?
Not that I am aware of.
That was just the early parts. I mean, I thought they were supposed to show at CES, which isn't yet.
It's this week. Just coming week, yeah.
I mean, I'm anxious. I could use a new video card, but I need prices to shift around a little bit, and I gotta know what's what with things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm definitely interested, but I was on pause with that shit in my head. I'm gonna wait till the.
Well, it's been a while since anything substantial happened with video cards.
It's been a year. You fucking believe that?
No.
I'm a caveman now?
I guess so.
Seriously, what the fuck is this shit about? Fucking live in a cave and paint bison on the walls or something anymore. I mean, may as well. I have to go a whole year without a new video card. Christ.
Last email comes from Lee Keen, who wrote us the 2011 in review. I won't go over every game here that he posted, but I will read his email. Hey guys, as this is probably the last podcast of the year, figuring you have better things to do on Christmas and New Year's Eve, thought you might want to discuss what kind of year we've had. Do you think it's been a vintage year or a mediocre one? What have been your highlights and lowlights? Oh, and yes, I have to ask, what has been each of your games of the year? To help jog memories, here's a list of the games, slightly editorialized by month, that have been released this year. And we get a shit ton, which he did a great job of this.
Did we talk about that last time? How, you know, there's stuff on there that didn't come out?
I mentioned the email. I didn't read the email.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, we decided to pick our
Yeah, we sort of went through our game.
We went through that.
Yeah, mine's without a doubt Deus Ex.
They haven't heard that episode yet, though.
No, not that one.
They will have by the time they hear this episode, though. So.
I'm making them one episode.
You're making them?
Yeah, I'm going to edit them together.
Oh, okay.
Man. So you're cutting out the entire VGA running commentary, huh?
It was pretty shitty.
Yeah.
There really wasn't anything to say about that. There was nothing good that happened.
No.
Unless you just want to listen to 2 hours of people hating something that they're watching.
Man, it was horrible.
Isn't that RJ leaving?
Do what?
Isn't that most of our shows anyway?
Yeah. We were pretty optimistic, energetic.
If it's good, it's worth, you know.
People.
Yeah. But come on. It's really hard to be positive about that shit. Yeah, Jesus Christ.
No, there was nothing good about that. That was RJ's first
VGAs. Yeah.
Probably his last.
Definitely.
No, they'll be better next year. That's what we tell ourselves every year.
We keep tuning into this shit.
You're lying to yourself.
Yeah, we are. Absolutely, yeah. We are. I always drink heavily during the VGA, so I can't really. I'm just like, you know. No, I'm sure it was something. It was all right.
Going into the tweets that we got. Gershnort says to in-game chat and to you personally, James, I hope you took some laxative to go with that 25-gigabyte install of Star Wars.
It's it is a big install. It's huge. Like, I think my WoW install grew to that size after a couple of expansions.
Yeah.
Not the biggest install you ever had to go 25 gigs?
Oh, no. Not really. I mean, my WoW install is actually bigger. But that, again, we're talking after several expansions.
Yeah, I mean, for a single
Your launch day, install, yeah. I believe it's a little bit smaller than that if you get rid of some of the installer files and everything, patching files and stuff. However, let's consider that it's that large because of the voice recording. That's why it's that
there's
big.
A lot.
How far are you really gonna push all of that after some expansion material, after some content updates? Mm-hmm. It could get ferocious, you know? It could get big. Although I do have some stuff to say about that.
Digital Hughes says, potential topic, what game did you really, really want to like this year but just couldn't?
Did Homefront come out this year?
Yeah.
That one, for me.
I thought that would be pretty fun. I wanted like a good shootery kind of thing.
The trailer looked, you know, really, trailer looked interesting.
That would actually qualify. It was really bad.
Yes.
I wanted to get into Skyrim, but I think I just got burnt out on Fallout, New Vegas, and all that. That's the type of gameplay, so I couldn't really get into it as much as others did.
Mm-hmm. I was really disappointed in From Dust.
Oh, yeah.
Really disappointed. I want to say there was something else, but that's the only one that comes to mind right now.
I can't say Homefront. I mean, I kind of...
I remember looking forward to that.
I was looking forward to Homefront.
Yeah, I just need to shoot a thing. You know, I need an FPS.
Was Medal of Honor this year? Was that last year?
I think that was last year.
That was last year.
Okay. There's one I have to look up.
Homefront was the Medal of Honor of this year.
Yeah.
I think one I have
to look up because I'm not sure.
Shit, I can't even tell anymore. I go by so fast.
Medal of Honor was last year.
Okay.
Yeah, because we were still doing shows at ASF when he was bitching about.
Yeah.
Of course, we were still doing shows at ASF last year.
Oh, well, 2011, yeah. I wanted to, like, do Nukem Forever.
Yeah.
So one of those games got a lot of hype that Nabokov was talking about. So much hype that when the actual product comes out, it's...
Well, no, it wasn't that. No, when the actual product came out, they sucked.
Yeah, Medal of Honor was 2010.
Okay, wow.
October of 2010. Mine...
Is that for real?
Yeah.
Oh, I know why I got confused. Medal of Honor was... Medal of Honor was the preemptive kind of buy this and get early access for Bad Company 2.
Yeah.
Not for Battlefield 3. I was thinking that it was, but no, it was for Bad Company 2. So, it was the previous year.
And then I was...
Why does this happen when you go...
Yeah, my head was going to Singularity, but that, was, that was 2010 as well.
Yeah.
So.
Wasn't that just a couple months ago? I don't like this part.
Man, I'm trying to think of anything.
I'm not okay with this.
From Dust and Duke Nukem were my two biggest disappointments. And it's really something for Duke Nukem to be a disappointment, considering I didn't really expect that much from it to begin with. So,
I'm going to do something a little bit different with this, actually.
Mm-hmm. All right.
The game itself was fine. I didn't like it the way other people liked it. And it's one of those things where I just get blank looks from all of you when I try to explain why I didn't like it, whatever. But this is really stupid. The mystique surrounding Portal 2. The idea that there was something more going on. That they were really elevating their thing. That Portal 2 was actually going to be their lead-in to some of their other flagship product sequels, you know? Mm-hmm. And they gamed it so hard. I'm not even talking about the potato sack stuff. I understand that was a sale and it was whatever, and I'm not worried about that I was lied to and never felt like I was promised anything, but there was a sense that, like, now we're, like, so deeply tying this into the existing fiction, and something's going on here. There's a little bit of energy with this company. They've released a game, and now more games and something. It was an aura, you know, like a mantle of energy around that game that just wasn't anything, you know. It really disappointed me. The launch of Portal 2 disappointed me. I was like, this is boring. That's what it was. I didn't buy any shit in the potato sack, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't even care about the countdown timer that was predetermined or anything like that. It's more that it was just, in the end, it was just extremely boring. From a company who's got they have every reason not to be boring. You know? It wouldn't even be hard for them to not be boring. It's like they go out of their way to do it. I was really disappointed in that. Could have been new and different, sort of exciting. Just didn't. Mm-hmm. Kind of upset me, you know? You don't get as many exciting things once you've seen everything 100 times.
Yeah.
That's part of the problem.
Yeah.
You know, I've been excited about games for as long as I can remember, you know? And all they, really,
all more often than not. All the way back to looking at the box art for Berserk and then.
Yeah, and more often than not, they just let you down. Mm-hmm. And it's not like being let down.
I had to go look at a thread on COG about disappointments of 2011 to remember what the fuck came out. Dead Island. I wish it could have been better than what it was. I didn't even play it, so I don't really know, obviously, how bad it is. But it did.
I played it.
I rented that one.
Once I looked at it, I was like, I don't really want to play this. It lost its.
I will tell you that Dead Island did something. Dead Island actually highlighted how disappointed I am in people around me. Not you guys necessarily, but like the community where it's like, God, a trailer, and like then this is shit. And I'm like, why did anyone ever believe the trailer?
Mm-hmm.
Why was there ever a single news story, a single forum posting about this game looks awesome, of which there were trillions,
mm-hmm.
when can we really not all cast a critical eye at these things anymore? This is literally a lie. I think it's interesting and it's well-paced and it's very beautifully conducted, but mm-hmm. it is a lie. This will not turn out anything like it because you've seen not one stitch of gameplay. Nothing at all. Nothing. It's just it's a little piece of story. And then they said, a video game. Maybe. Something. I don't know. Whatever. Here's a video. And we're making a game. So you make the connection. Because we're not going to. It bothered me.
It's very odd because it's like, you know, when usually movie licensed games are always crap. Yeah. 99% of the time movie licensed games are shit. But it's like they made the trailer for a video game in a movie setting and then based a video game on the movie. Yeah, so yeah. It became crap.
That's very cynical, but all the points match up.
Yeah. So somebody else mentioned this. I liked the game up until the nice little end segments that they put in, but L.A. Noire.
I liked it up until it was shit.
I liked Alien
when
Noir.
When was that, though?
When was it shit? The first first time you actually have to sit down in an interview room with somebody and realize that the cues don't... They're dog shit. All of the cues don't mean anything. They don't. You don't actually have the ability to detect fuck all in that game. And that as much as the tech they used was really cool,
yeah,
it didn't actually mean anything.
I remember getting to that point.
Then Drago was yelling at me because he emailed us a list of what came out this year.
I remember getting to that point pretty quickly with it, and then sticking with it because they were telling an interesting enough story. I wanted to see the story through, but just like not...
They were working so hard.
I just was not digging my time.
I remember, and it was like the first guy, the guy with the jewelry store, and somebody's a Jew, and I don't know.
Well, that's what it was.
No, he's right, he's right.
And it's like, we're there, and it's like, and so I kind of like hit him slightly wrong, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, this is what bothered me. Like, serious business going on, because like, there's dead people. Okay, and I'm a cop, motherfucker. I'm a cop. Mm-hmm. And it's all like, I slightly led the wrong way in an interview. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, game over. He's done. He's lawyered up. You're finished. You're fired. You're going to die drunk. You know? It's like, fuck you. No, the next option is I stand up, kick my chair across the room, and lean in and pull the bad cop routine. Like, I elevate. Mm-hmm. No, that's not an option. I guessed wrong. Based on incomplete evidence that was full of shit, and it was essentially game over, start from a load screen. And I was like, fuck you. It's cute, but fuck you. You broke the game with your own tech. And I tried so hard to go further than that. And no, it was a broken game. So.
Dead Space 2 came out this year.
It was really fun, actually. Dead Space 2 was really...
Bulletstorm came out this year.
It was okay. Mm. Dead Space 2 was really... I mean, it was good. It was missing a lot of what the first one had, but the production values were awfully high, and I actually had a lot of fun with it. It was only some of it that... It was, like, cheap in some places. Wasn't as memorable.
The fear option was gone because you knew it was coming.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't scary at all.
A lot of monster closets.
Hmm? And the first one as well.
Yeah.
Rift came out this year.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, you know that. Crysis 2.
Hmm. I thought it was okay. I liked it, actually. I thought Crysis 2 was sort of fun to play.
Dragon Age 2.
You know what? No, you know what?
That's
very nearly it.
Yeah.
The problem is Dragon Age 2, if it were not Dragon Age 2, if it had not taken...
any other game.
If it was any other fucking game anywhere, mm-hmm. it would be pretty good, actually. Not great.
But it has an association of that name.
Well, it's not the association. People say that it is. What it is that it took the place of an actual Dragon Age 2.
No.
You had Dragon Age, and it did what it did. And it's a really specific taste, but god damn it, it was their best-selling game ever. Right? So why did they take the tack of destroying everything it was to make something entirely different on short order? What happened is that they sold Dragon Age 1. They sold the idea out there into the universe, and they traded it for this other thing. And so now, Dragon Age is Dragon Age 2. Mm-hmm. The future light cone of Dragon Age 1 no longer includes what we all wanted. It includes this fucking abortion, this piece of shit, that in and of itself is okay. And it's not just that it bears the name. If it had been Dragon Age Adventures or some shit like that, and it had come out in addition to it, or something. I mean, I don't even know what, man. But there is no Dragon Age 2. There never will be, because this thing happened, and it ate it.
Dragon Age Kart Racer.
Yeah. This mediocre to good game ate what was a fantastic game. And we can now never have another of it because of it. That's why people are mad. Because there's only so much time in the fucking world. We're all getting kind of older at it. at a frightening pace. Well, we really are.
I know. I mean,
which this episode exposes more than any other episode that we've done.
But to make a top-notch AAA high-quality game takes tens of thousands of man-hours. And any more takes millions of dollars. Tens of billions in most cases. The world is not infinite. My fucking time on this earth is not infinite. And so when something like this happens, I basically can say, well, fuck that 5 years of time. And you just absolutely upset the inertia of your own thing. It's not disposable. We're not talking about frittering our way away all our time. It's real toil. And when it results in something mediocre that comes at the expense of something fantastic, everyone senses the tragedy. And it's not that the game itself is a tragedy. It's the loss of what could have been. There's no throw a couple more guys at the whatever and fix it in the however long. It doesn't happen. These things are terrifyingly finite. You know? And if you're talking about a console game, you got what? Maybe two cracks at hardcore shit in a single generation? Three if you're enormous like EA? And you recycle shit at an aggressive fucking rate. I'm like thinking of Mass Effect here.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And none of them are even close to perfect. But, I mean, you upset the cart a little bit and it's all, man. It tips over, your apple's all over the place, and it's fucked. And you're never getting it back together in time. You lost the race. People sense that. That's why they're pissed. Not at the existence of it, but at the sacrifice that was necessary.
There's some other games that are good in here that I forgot. Brink. Released this year, I wanted to like it, and I only liked it after they really patched the fuck out of it and dropped the price to something, you know, $5 or so.
Did you mention Rage earlier, or was it
Rage?
Yeah. Rage came out this
year. Rage came out this
year. Rage also did.
Yeah. Fable 3 came out this year. Dungeons & Dragons Daggerdale came out this year. Infamous 2.
There we go.
That one hurt a little bit, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
It did.
I couldn't get myself to play that one either.
I played minutes.
Well, I played it because I was like, yay! And then I played it and I was like, boo. I wanted to. That's my
favorite. I really wanted to like Infamous 2. I played all the way through it. But it wasn't there.
I
felt I've played this before. I mean,
it had none of the charm that the first one had. The first one was like had all this weird funk about it, and it like
I tried really hard.
Hit you with night, like, I mean, what was legit, like, kind of a nice
you play light twist and dark, and just one.
Oh god, no! One playthrough was enough.
No, I liked all the weird looking faces in the first game, and I liked all the funky animations and all the strange behaviors and a lot of the erraticism and the apparent erraticism in the story. I liked it. And I really did want to see what happens next. And it was so boring what happens next.
I mean, from the very beginning it starts off like, oh, look, there's the beast, and you're like,
Yeah, it's like, no, this is bad.
That's what I was afraid of throughout the whole, that's what you're leading up to the whole game.
Was a giant man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That just is giant. That's it. That's it. Why is he the beast? Because he's beastly. This sucks.
Yeah.
This really fucking sucks. There's no. Wherever you guys took what created the first game, it's gone.
It was a beast. It just looked like a big flaming golem.
Yeah. That's all. It was just a dude. It was a thing. It wasn't anything. That fucking game wasn't anything. It was crap. To me, you're right. That was another good disappointment. Wow, that's really cool that I can be reminded of that. That upset me so much.
I had a much more positive outlook on this year until we started having this discussion.
Yeah, until we talk about the negative of it.
I'm sad I only brought four beers.
Now we feel old and just pissed off.
Nothing else sticks out to me or to anything that we would have played here as it goes into the months that we're starting to remember, like August, Deus Ex, Bastion, Madden, whatever. Resistance 3 in September, that really was never even on my radar. Resistance games haven't been. Warhammer Space Marine?
He likes Space Marine.
He must have went to the bathroom instead of the... yeah, he did.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't really get into Space Marine, but he seems to love it, so...
Yeah, and that's why I kind of wanted to get his opinion on that. Calgar in the chat room sent us a little breaking news bit, and I'm looking at it now. Best Buy thinks Diablo 3 is coming out on February 1st, 2012.
Best Buy is full of shit.
Yeah.
Best Buy thinks they're going to have it released by then.
Man.
Well, because if you go to their little order page, if you go to their online order page, release February 1st, 2012. Oh, yeah. Whatever. It's one of those
things. No way in hell.
Yeah, what Jeremy said. Yeah.
Yeah. What's another one in here that Rage was listed?
Yeah.
Gears of War 3 was what?
Gears of War 3 was this year, but yeah. I've still got the game. Actually, I bought the game because it was on sale for Black Friday.
Mm-hmm. I'm just not a Gears fan.
For like $30 and I picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
I played the first, played through the second. I love playing through it co-op and it's got 4-player co-op, so I was hoping we could do 4-player co-op, but that was in September. And so, who knows when that'll happen. Space Marine was the other one.
The other what?
There was another one that popped up on the list.
Oh, I see. And I still haven't bought it yet. I just regret that I just haven't picked it up and played it yet. I'd really like to, but I really avoided the sale this year. There was a lot of really fantastic shit on it, but I honestly was just
one
like...
thing.
Yeah, I was like, I got this fucking MMO to play. I really shouldn't. I don't know why. I just felt like I shouldn't. And that was great fucking, I should have bought Serious Sam 3.
Yeah.
Like, but, $10
I mean, we know it's, I mean, just give it another 2 months or so and we'll have another crazy sale.
Back around on a sale. I felt like being a little more austere, you know?
You know, a couple years ago when they first started the Steam sales, then yeah, I understand. We're like, oh my God, that's insane. But now it's like, you know, sale just because it's Monday.
Well, it was good timing. Several things on my wish list went down to ridiculous levels, you know, and I just didn't. I didn't bite. I was like, no, I'm just not going to spend that $10.
It was weird for me. There was so much that I wasn't buying that I started buying things in people's wish list and gifting it to them. As long as it was like 5 or under, I was like, here you go.
That actually brings up something I wanted to say. That I think I'd said to Jeremy.
Oh, yeah.
A number of people, like, in my world, you know, were like, well, what do you have for Christmas? And I said, I don't want shit. You know, you ask me every year, I don't want shit. I don't need anything. I always feel weird when people buy me stuff anyway. However, if you want to go over here to this website and buy me this thing, I have a list. Here's how you look at my guy.
Yeah.
I have a list of things I want. You go there. And a bunch of them are on sale. You can buy me things. You know, because people are always wanting to know, like, how do I buy you a whatever? I'm like, here's a place. Here's a place.
Yeah.
And nobody did. Not a single fucking person bought me anything. Like, of the, you know, like, of my major games. I'm like, come on. You're always, people
who are
always asking.
That's not something that you could rap, or that's not, yeah.
Oh, they don't care. They don't give a shit anymore. Oh. Like, I'm old. It's not that. It's the fact that I think it's a little bit weird and arcane to get to Steam. And to find a person...
If you're not already on Steam.
And to buy them something. If you're somebody's mom. And for next year, I would like it to be much easier for my mom to go buy me things on Steam. Because you have to like create your own Steam thing.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. But
and find the person you're talking about because it's by handle, not by name. Mm-hmm. You know, shit like that. So I was a little disappointed. I was like... I've expected my mom to get me, like, Space Marine or something, you know? It's up the top with Serious Sam.
Yeah, I was looking at your stuff, and I was like, man, none of his stuff's dropping below the threshold that I want to spend.
No, I understand that completely. This is mostly about people who always ask me, like, oh, what can I get you?
Yeah.
I have a list of shit you can get me. And this time of year, this shit drops down to less than $20. Yeah. So I just thought that was an interesting little thing, and it occurred to me, like, it's just very arcane and convoluted and sort of foreign, you know. Now, I wouldn't want to say it's convoluted, but it's foreign if you just don't always use it.
I got I gave Kevin the ship gifted to him.
Yeah, because everybody got like everybody a free got, fucking copy of that.
Everybody
ship.
Got like 2 copies of the ship, so that they could give away more, and everybody would then have 2 copies of the ship.
And then, like, you know, I still have my copy of Half-Life 2 Episode 2.
that, you know, I need a gift to somebody, but everybody I know has it.
Everybody has it.
So. I got some discounts off some stuff to use, and I saw Jeremy was fucking plowing through those
cheap trying to get again, something.
Doing his thing. How many pieces of gold did you get?
All of them.
Did you do all the achievements?
I did all the achievements for all of the games that I owned, and all the free to play titles as well.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I did 38 achievements in all.
Nice. I think I saw that that a virgin got the full thing. One of the V guys.
Oh yeah.
Unfortunately, got everything. Got the full pack. Wow. The Steam catalog.
Wow.
I think I saw that on Reddit today.
That doesn't surprise me. Those guys can be pretty aggressive about, you know.
Yeah. Covering the bases and making sure they have the greatest possible chance.
And I know there were people that were like trading coupons for coal or trading games for coal or, you know, just doing whatever they could to get coal.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to do all of my things and hopefully get a free game. I didn't get shit. A couple of stupid coupons.
I got some coupons,
some for things I already had. My fucking nephew, though, who like did two or three stupid objectives, got a free game. Asshole.
I'll send you episode two.
You know what it reminds me of?
Episode two of what?
Half-Life.
Oh, yeah. Fuck you.
It reminds me of the holidays in like WoW.
Yeah.
The all of the seasonal.
You sort of mentioned that to me.
Where they do all of these. There's all these RNG things, you know? Where every day you go, you like fight the boss and he drops a loot pumpkin, you know? And you open the pumpkin and like is the fun helmet or the special mount, or like the little crazy pet, or the toothpick that makes your mouth twinkle, or whatever. Like, is any of this stuff in there? It's all RNG. You go every day, and some fucking smelly cock somewhere gets it on the first day, but you go every time, every day, and you don't get shit. And like that's where it fucking reminds me, because fucking RNG sucks, man.
You got a rock.
Yep.
That can happen to you.
Spigot says, "Have you guys seen the real life?"
I remember we did that in COH.
COH. Yeah. On the door, and you get something.
I remember setting an egg timer.
Oh yeah.
Because you could only check the door once a minute.
Yeah.
And I remember setting an egg timer and sitting at the desk. Doing
That's
that.
Great.
Spigot wants to know if we have seen the real life wipeout race using quantum levitation.
Yes.
No.
I saw that. Has it been proven or hoaxed or?
I didn't see.
Because I've seen the actual.
It's a hoax.
I've seen the actual. It was University of Tel Aviv. They did the quantum locking of magnets. I've seen that, and that was damn amazing. But this one, they have a track, and they basically says wipeout, and they made mock up of wipeout racers, and so a lot of people are, you know, decrying that it's just a elaborate. You know, just viral campaign for some new Wipeout game coming out.
Right.
If so, it's still, you know, it's still fun to watch. But, I mean, if that's using the quantum locking, you know, technique, then it's awesome. If it's not fake, if it's just really them doing that, then I'm like, that's what I want for Christmas next year. Give me my little racetrack set that hover cars.
Cal Elmdor says, in-game chat seems to have updated with a new episode. That can't be right.
It's not right. We updated with an old episode.
That's the only kind of episode that we update.
Do we do one in December at all?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll be going up the first of the week. I already got it. It's not ready.
Because we did it when we watched the VGAs.
That's right.
And it was December 10th.
That was just a mess of shit that didn't matter. That episode actually did kind of matter, to be honest with you.
BK Smith says PS3 wireless headset does both game audio and game chat. Also, they work on the PC. It uses a USB single, not the PS3 Bluetooth.
You need to go buy a USB headset.
USB headset, yeah.
And I don't understand like 8-inch jack headsets anymore.
For your PC. I don't know why I picked that one up, honestly.
Well, you've had it for a while, right?
I went out and bought a new one when we were. What did I buy a new one for?
Was it Borderlands? Playing?
Maybe it was Borderlands. No, I don't think it was Borderlands.
Unless I was running an entirely separate sound card, which is still... I don't know. I don't know how Windows 7 handles that sort of stuff, but I see no reason to. A USB headset will always show up as a separate audio device.
Yeah.
So you go into the, like you go into your Mumble or your TeamSpeak or Vent, and it's like, you know, primary audio device, do the drop down, and it's like Logitech headset. Blam. And there are no collisions or problems or anything.
Yeah.
Which 10 years ago, I ran a separate sound card specifically to run a headset off of to use TeamSpeak.
Because you couldn't enable full duplex shit on your shit and without it blowing up your whole computer in your house and killing your dog. And yeah, anymore, dude. I would never buy a headset that wasn't a USB. For chat purposes. Which is very specific. You want your voice chat coming in.
My headset's both. It's the RCA and USB.
No, it isn't. It really isn't.
I love how James says, no, it isn't, and folds his arms. No, it isn't.
Nope. And Matt doesn't challenge him. No, it is Matt's headset.
No. Look, just because it has plugs on it doesn't mean that's like actually what's going on. If it's got like both of those things, like it's not... Something's going through one thing, and something else is going through another thing, and it's not like using both of those things. There's no, because you don't need both of those things if it's a USB headset. USB is just going to handle all of the everything. So, what color thingies does it have?
For the RCA.
RCA.
I mean the headphone jack.
Eighth edge chat.
No, eighth edge.
What was this? 1987.
What color?
Green and red.
Green and red.
Yes. See, that doesn't make any sense. Green is the sound, and red is the mic.
Yeah.
The USB is
USB.
It's USB. I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense. Something's wrong with you. Do you plug the color jack in?
It perfectly fits Matt's personality.
Do you plug the USB in?
Yeah.
Why would you plug them both in?
Because that's what the instructions said to do. Ah!
One or the other should work. Both doesn't make it
what,
work.
What else is on the headset?
Twice as good.
Does it have like lights on it?
Well, the mic, like if it goes like red if you mute it, or green if it's...
That's red. Awesome. Somebody made a
USB thing just to power the
just
light
to power
on your mic mute.
Oh
button.
God, that's great! What an asshole.
Seriously, like that's it's got a light on it.
Yeah, just, you know.
So it's probably drawing power from the light.
Yeah, it's only drawing power from USB.
For the light.
And then, yeah.
And it's doing all of its audio through the eighth inch jacks.
I love it.
I'll try it with just
that's exactly the sort of shit you would
buy. I know!
I'll try it with just the USB, see if it works.
And the light will come on. That's brilliant.
Light's working.
I'm going to make a headset that has eighth inch jacks, USB jacks, network cables, DVI, FireWire, and like, I know Matt will buy one. I'll get at least one sale, so.
You should make a double USB cable, or, you know, it has to plug into both USB.
A double USB?
Yeah. USB 3 has to plug into both.
Yeah, sure. I'll put those extra amps somewhere.
I have old hard drives that do that. The double USB.
Yeah. Hard drive enclosures, anyway. Because
they need the power.
Sometimes they don't have enough power off one jack to spin it up.
That's better than plugging it into a wall.
Yeah. Yep.
Thundrego says, why do gamers have such rubbish ending? Why do games have such a rubbish ending these days? For example, Saints Row and Skyrim, are they just being left open for sequels? I haven't finished either of those. I don't know if anybody else here has.
No.
To know
I know the answer. That's the
part of it's hard. I mean, really good endings, things are usually over.
Mm-hmm. And people want to make
like
sequels.
I kind of like, well, and I also like keep playing.
Yeah.
In an open world game, they do like to make sequels. Not that they paid any attention to what came before it.
Yeah.
But like
Infamous too.
Yeah.
But yeah, endings are very hard. Story's hard in general, and. There's not many good stories being told in games, unfortunately. As much as I like the form of storytelling,
I think it's the one thing we still have yet to learn from movies.
Yeah,
how to tell an ending. I'm really bad at it.
Mm-hmm.
BK Smith says, love the Uncharted talk. There were points that had me on edge. If this is truly in for Drake and crew, what a ride. Calgar says, any views on the Rainbow Six tech demo? We get asked, this is about the second or third time somebody's asked us about this. Is anybody else?
I know I looked at it, right?
Yeah,
I know
I did. I watched it.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, how
it's
much
Rainbow
I...
Six, it looks, you know.
Oh, I did. That's right. Yeah, I did watch it. It looked pretty good. It looked like a lie, too.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I'm not trying to be a dick about it. I looked at it and I was like, this is a neat thing I'm seeing with my eyes, but.
Until you see something that's concrete and actual.
My problem with that video is that it was supposedly, use quote air quotes, leaked.
Yeah.
And somebody got a hold of it. Then the devs from Rainbow Six says, this is just a thing that we put together. This is not... They're telling you that this is not whatever it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
But here, look at it.
If you tell me up front
that this is not what it's supposed to be, that this was never intended to be public... You know, even if you're still trying to make this some viral thing, but you're still telling me this was never intended to be public, but here, look at it anyway. Why should I even get excited about what you're fucking showing me?
Yeah.
It goes back to the Dead Island paradox, which is, you know, great and awesome trailer that shows absolutely no gameplay and has nothing to do with the original game itself, or with the game
that gets released. What you're going to be doing in the game. Yeah.
So why should I give a damn about what you just showed me?
I know we did say this before, but I think, again, for what it's worth, I thought, while the differences are apparent, I liked the Prey 2 stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant fucking trailer. It was just a wonderful trailer. It was really fun and neat. And then when we saw that first section of gameplay at E3, it was, you know, not even remotely as slick as the trailer, but it kind of was the trailer.
It showed that the trailer was representative of the gameplay.
Right. At least in... kind of some level of design, you know? And so I think to that trailer and I'm like, well, at the time, the trailer was a lie. As much as the Dead Island trailer was a lie. Because it's all this shit. But then to see that that's represented at all in the game, I was like, God, it just feels good. I don't feel like shit right now. I feel pretty okay.
Yeah.
Thundrago says, did anyone spend the stereotypical grandma-related gaming holiday season... Or were you too busy playing Skyrim and SWTOR?
Man, I fucking ignored those people. The only thing I did over the whole holidays was go to Mike and Kelly's to eat a food.
I did lots of, you know, family-related stuff and also hold my computer around so I could do both.
I felt like shit over Christmas, though, so...
Yeah.
I just sat in front of the Star Wars tour and was like...
They're pretty accommodating to that, so...
Thundrago just sent us a tweet and says, none of you have really said what is the game of the year and why. We did in our episode you haven't heard.
Well, we said or did our individual.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like, this is my favorite thing.
Mm-hmm.
We could crystallize that a little bit and say more about it from a strict, complete game of the year.
I suppose. I mean... Have to be a consensus of things, because, yeah. I mean, I haven't played Skyrim.
Right.
And...
We haven't played,
Jeremy hasn't played anything.
I haven't played Batman or Uncharted.
And
it's not Uncharted.
What have we all played together?
Not enough.
Deus Ex? Nope.
Nope.
I guess we can't reach a consensus.
Assassin's Creed?
Nope.
Ha! What? No. Portal 2.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
Any of y'all play Dark Souls?
No.
Nope. No. I'm out of the conversation already. Yeah. So
even though Dark Souls is very much in the running.
Yeah, I know, but it is nothing we've all played together. We can get a general,
consensus on. I can understand
Angry Birds.
The difference between a best thing and like my favorite experience.
Right.
I also don't know how much I'm able to think about a game and just... Every game I'm thinking about none of them exist in a vacuum. I just don't look at it and go, well, these are all the things about the game that here's how it worked, and this is why I think it works really good. I think about Skyrim, and I think, it's fucking terrific, you know? But a lot of what makes Skyrim good is what we were talking about earlier. How it has succeeded and what it means as a success. You know, that's a big deal. This is a big fuzzy cloud of energy around Skyrim, you know, and that matters. What I said about Portal 2 previously, about, well, there's Portal 2, but it's got all the baggage of Portal 1. You know, that Portal 1 was so perfect and cute and amazing. And they tried to use Portal 2 as a big marketing hurrah, which led to nothing. That disappointment soured me on it a little bit. Deus Ex is there, and it was a thing, but we forget how unlikely it was that Deus Ex was ever going to be anything worth a shit again. Mm-hmm. Even those of us who did, now that our conscience has sort of been, you know, we're satisfied, we're terrified.
After IW. Yeah.
For a long time. It's not possible to make something that plays good, is super fun, and feels like Deus Ex. It's not possible. And the fact that it was, and it was good. You know, it had shit in it, but it was good. That was awesome. So I don't know how to just look at a game and say that this is just a whatever. Batman made me feel great while playing it. But a lot of the stuff in it was just sort of forgettable and really questionable. I don't know. I don't know how to get away from any of the rest of it. But I guess I just have to reiterate that I haven't had more fun than I've had in Deus Ex. Even though it was short in comparison to some of the other things I've done.
Yeah. Have you done the expansion at all?
No, I bought it, but I haven't played it yet.
Bought it on the Steam sale, $5. Whoa! That's how much it should have been, but anyway. I haven't even played the thing to make that judgment, but yeah. Thundrigo says that always think best, favorite, and most played are completely different things.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Mm-hmm. It's hard not to knock Deus Ex for some of the things it did. Those boss fights are just terrible.
The ending
was problematic. Cowardly.
Too easy to, it's like, alright.
Yeah, just some buttons hanging out together.
Yeah.
It's crap.
He's in the chat room, but he keeps sending us tweets. What are you looking forward to in 2012 before the end of the world?
Mass Effect 3.
Guild Wars 2.
Yep.
Prey 2.
Yeah.
Phantasy Star Online 2.
Okay.
Challenger approaches. I did not expect that.
If I had known it was happening, I would have.
Yeah.
What else? Jesus Christ, now we have to start looking over. We're back to looking forward to stuff coming out again, aren't we?
Yeah.
It's that shit all over
again. With talks of Shenmue City, it finally went under.
Diablo 3.
He's been talking about
Diablo 3, yeah. What the fuck is that shit?
Well, you were in the bathroom when somebody said Best Buy says it's coming out like the beginning of February.
Calgar sent us a link to where there was a British site that you could buy, I don't know, games on sale to online buy shit, and they have February 3rd, and then I looked at my RSS feed and Joystick had a news post that Best Buy thinks February 1st is when...
I'm totally going to buy that.
Diablo 3 comes out.
Yeah, I'm totally going to buy that and play it.
I thought you meant buy that it comes out February 1st.
Oh, no. not necessarily. Right. Although it doesn't seem too horrible because they sort of willfully were just like, hey, here's the beta and whatever. And I'm like, no, tell me about it. When is this coming out? I really want to play this. I only want some people I know to buy it. And I want to play co-op. And what a hideous monstrosity of design choices it is. But
whoa,
I'm sorry, man.
Like, Best Buy doesn't have a link. They have an indoor in-store display.
Oh wow.
Okay.
All right. Well then.
Well, what? Huh. It's a poster that.
Midnight opening, available to purchase 12:01 a.m. on February 1st.
What is that? Day of the week is that? Figure it out. Fucking 1,800 computer screens in the room and I have to wait 10 seconds?
It is a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday?
Well, there you go, then. It is happening.
SSX is another one I'm looking forward to.
Yeah?
Yeah. Comes out Valentine's Day, I think.
fuck should I be looking forward to?
I'm cautiously optimistic for Max Payne 3.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be a tough one.
I get
very cautious about that.
I'm not getting my excitement level up there. I am in that curious zone of like.
Rockstar hasn't done me very good in a long time.
Speaking of which,
GTA 5?
GTA 5, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's worth looking forward to. In spite of what I just
said. I mean, it's hard to imagine them. Nothing. Making something like...
I can't remember the last time I didn't have fun playing a GTA game.
Yeah. In spite of how you felt at the outset of every... Yeah. At the outset of the game and by the time you were done.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. It was worth it.
Yeah.
Even if you're a little sick at the end of the ride.
Yeah.
It was worth it.
Yeah.
I'm in the same... Just as where I am on Max Payne 3, I'm in the same way for Assassin's Creed 3. If that indeed is true.
I'm more optimistic.
I am all on board for Assassin's Creed 3.
Particularly since after seeing what you've shown me, after knowing the endings of Brotherhood.
And Revelations.
It's the same
ending.
Same fucking ending. Yeah. It's the same fucking ending, by the way. It's just more explicit and more interesting at the end of Revelations. Where they are is of absolutely... they've made no progress. They just... the thing at the end of Brotherhood, they killed the girl. That's it. Just to get her out of the way. Because fucking actors probably went too much money or something. Who knows? Point is, they've run out of places to hide the story. Anymore, they have no choice. They have to do something. They can't make a game where nothing happens again. So that's why I'm optimistic. Much more than Max Payne 3.
The only reason to stay in a holding pattern for two whole games is because you actually do intend to go somewhere, which makes me optimistic.
I'm not going to unfurrow my brow yet. You know.
Yeah. There's still reasons to be cautious and skeptical. But no. Yeah, the story's going to move ahead. Huzzah! For good or bad, it's going to move. That in and of itself is good, so.
Diablo 3 in February would actually... You know what? I gotta tell you, it would actually make me feel really good.
That's a good place for it. There's...
I don't mind telling you that I really need something to like right now. Because I don't really like Old Republic.
Yeah.
I'm having a hard time liking it.
And Guild Wars isn't until April, right?
Guild Wars isn't until... Whenever. You want to talk about some when it's ready motherfuckers? These shitcocks, their game has been in a state of otherworldly polish for... Dude, I watched videos a year and a half ago, okay? That looked exquisite compared to the shit that BioWare and EA just launched. And they're just iterating and polishing and implementing and doing it. I don't even know what the fuck they're doing. But they are absolutely taking their time. I have the sense that they are winding up for a perfect pitch. Maybe not huge, grand, giant, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The scale of this thing is still in question. But it just... I really want it to come out. I really do. Because I'm not having a particularly good time with Old Republic. It's not... utter crap. I'm not going to be one of those people, but I don't like it, you know? I know what the fucking MMO is supposed to feel like. I'm supposed to want, supposed to like yearn to log in and go explore these places and go find a new thing that I haven't found. And I've gotten one character to 50, and I did it pretty quick, you know? Not insanely fast, but I did it pretty quick. And I feel like I've seen too much of what there is to see already. And of the things I haven't seen, I'm not interested in many of them at all. Like, there's too much focus on PvP. Like, you're looking for something to do, go PvP. Well, no, I don't want to. How about that?
That's an acquired taste.
I could maybe do it if it was better. I've done it in World of Warcraft at times, the large-scale group PvP, which doesn't exist in this game. They actually don't have PvP built around the large-scale raid sizes. It's only built about around the tiny raid sizes. They actually have no brackets in this game for PvP. All people of all levels play together. It's fucking idiotic. It's idiotic. I know they scale you, like your effective level, but they don't give you new powers. So if you're a level 20,
you useless against somebody of higher.
It really, 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 really does. And at the very least, they have to lock the 50s away in their own bracket because of the rate at which 50s start to get really good gear that makes them their own thing. And they are doing that. The problem is, here's the thing. All of my complaints that I have to offer about Old Republic, I'm actually not too bothered by the bugs. I'm not one of those people that's going to pretend that it's a piece of shit. It was a hugely successful launch. It's been pretty smooth. There aren't that many bugs. Some nasty graphical things that I know were not related to my system. There's the chat bug stuff. Yeah. Where it's like guild chat and general chat and party chat just not functioning just at
randomly
all.
Randomly they just
being gone work. Completely.
Yeah.
It's more down into design choices and the implementation of features, or rather the complete lack of certain features. A lot like what I was complaining about earlier. Certain things can't be anything other than just stubbornness. WoW has this, so we refuse. We've already copied it so much, we just refuse to copy this. And it's harmful. And if you're sort of diddling along and you don't take them very seriously and you haven't played a lot of them and you don't want certain things out of this game, I'm sure it's fine. It's not really fine for me. There's absolutely no variation. I mean, I hate leveling up. I hate it. I know it for the arbitrary bullshit grind that it is. I also know that gear acquisition is a grind, but it's one I prefer and it's one I like. It's like opening a prize bag all the time and seeing what fun things are in it. Leveling up isn't like that. You know, there's nothing fun in it for me. So I hate it. But the only way to satisfy certain things the game has to deliver to you, which is story, you have no system. Choice is but to level up and play through an entire character again. But in order to do that, you have to 95% of your gameplay is going to be identical to what you just did, because there's no variation in which planets you go to, in which order to do things. Even in WoW, which everybody hates, you could level 3 characters up even on the Alliance side or the Horde side or whatever and never really see the same path through the first, say, 2/3 of the game. Past that point, it's pretty linear. But there were more options even in the old game than there are in this one. And every bit of the BioWare level design is in play. Every planet is a square. That's all it is. It's a rectangle of some kind. It's all a square. There's nothing organic about it. It doesn't feel organic. It feels like I'm in a zoo. That's what it feels like. Like I'm actually, it's a habitat built in an aquarium. And if I even look up from the ground, I'm going to see the glass wall of my cage. And yes, they are all taking place in a cage. Yes, they are all theme parks. But this is like a shitty knockoff theme park that hasn't really done a good job of, they didn't do the math on the sight lines. They didn't actually follow a lot of the theatrical principles of perspective and design to make you feel like you're in a place.
Like standing in a Six Flags line as opposed to a Disney World line?
Very much so. Very, very much so. And it you know, it doesn't make me angry, but it also doesn't kind of elicit any sort of love, you mm-hmm. know? And I mean, I could go on and on about all of the features that I think are actually very, very harmful to the long term, even the middle term success of an MMO. I believe their player auction system is fundamentally broken. The crafting system and the system by which you sell things to other people are broken completely. There is nothing right now. As an example, one of the guys in our guild, like I hit 50, one other guy in the guild hit 50 before I did, but then I hit 50, and I think Crash Shoes, I bought a couple of skill barrels off of him, right? These two epic barrels that make my guns better. It was the best thing he could craft. I was like, holy shit, let me buy a couple of those. So I bought them, he didn't charge me nearly enough for them. But I bought them and put them in, yeah, I'm really good, right? Hit 50, go out there to the planet, to Ilum, where the dailies are, right? In 2 hours, I had earned enough of the little daily commendations all by myself to buy the versions that the vendor sells you, which are a skosh better than what I bought from him. And that was the best thing that he could make. And that was really the only thing that his entire profession is designed around, is these barrels. Just like the only thing that the armor-making profession is designed around, really, is the armor mods, you know?
Right.
It all kind of, like, crystallizes down into this one thing you'll be able to provide to everybody. Mm-hmm. But why fucking bother? Because at every level, I can just snooze my way through a daily.
To buy
a better version with almost no effort whatsoever. So why have you bothered crafting anything? That's slightly out of balance. The crafting professions always sort of provide a needed thing that other things can't get at a pretty consistent rate. And even over in WoW, which everybody hates, it works to some degree. Everybody has something they can provide to the community that can't be gotten through other means or can't be gotten reasonably through other means. In this game, I see absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Unless you crit on some kind of crafted thing or something. But even then, none of that can be as good, as because of the way the mods work, as good as the stuff that drops from raids. And it's a little weird. And it's incomplete. And the game hasn't been out for very long, so maybe it'll mature. I don't know. But it shouldn't be this evident this quick. The auction system is just broken. You can't browse it properly. You can't search it at all until you've already browsed. Like, you're not allowed to search for a thing. Imagine going to Newegg, right? And wanting to search for NVIDIA video cards.
Uh-huh.
But you can't do that until you've used the drill down menu to go to NVIDIA video cards.
Ooh.
That's how the system works. It's fucking horrible. Mm. And all they had to do was nick the one from WoW. And yes, everybody hates me. But fuck you. This thing works. So the shit that it's not worth your time to make isn't worth your time to sell. Because nobody can find it easily. And the economy is wildly out of whack because of the slicing thing, and the existing costs are all fucked up. And whether you like it or not, whether it's your impersonal thing or not, some kind of, like, economy rolling around in an MMO is necessary when you have servers filled with thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And it's something that people like to do. It's fun to spend your time crafting a neat thing, and here it turns out I've made this great shit and I want to sell it to somebody. Yeah, the whole system's just fucked. It's no good. And I don't like it. I think the game suffers really badly by not having any kind of grouping system whatsoever. Because I've sat around on my ass as a level 50 looking for people to play with, and I know that I've got there fast, but at this point there's people everywhere. But there's just no... You know, if I want to run one of these dungeons, then I have to be sitting on the fleet for several hours waiting for somebody to form a group. But then there's dungeons over here in this other place that I need to be doing, and maybe, you know, whatever. But I'd like to be doing my dailies, but if I'm doing my dailies, then I'm in a place where somebody's not going to be looking for a random DPS to go run heroic dungeons. There's a reason these fucking things showed up in other MMOs. It's because evolution taught us that people actually liked them. Forums teach you what people hate, but practice teaches you what they actually like. And if they paid attention to what works and not what they heard in their own heads or something, they would have done something better about it. And my problem is, these are huge games with huge lead times on developmental changes. You have to assume that when a big content patch or something drops in an MMO, this is not new. This has been worked on back at the R&D level for years, most likely. You know, that was one of the problems with WoW, by the way. They would have a cute idea, and they would start building large-scale parts of the game around the cute idea, like the vehicle stuff. And then they would throw out a little taste. They were going to give you some content that's based around this concept. And they'd throw it out there, people fucking hated it. You know? They just, they did not like it at all. But it doesn't matter that they didn't like it. They're already developing a whole expansion pack based around it. It doesn't matter, you can't reverse course. It's too big. This game is big. And so they don't just go, oh shit, you hate the entire auction system? Well, then we'll go and fix that in the next patch. It's not gonna happen. It's talking about big design changes. And the game is filled with what a lot of people perceive to be bad, bad design changes. Or bad design in certain respects. You can't fix that. You can, but it takes a lot of time. And I don't owe them anything. And I sure as hell don't owe them my time. So I get a little grouchy when I'm like, couldn't you have done like this better, you know? Couldn't you have actually like devised a better grouping system or something, or a loot system? I mean, I could go on for a very long time and it would sound petty.
I guess I'm coming from a different place. I'm enjoying the hell out of it, I should say. And not to say that you're not enjoying that, you're still playing.
I'm not enjoying the hell out of it.
Yeah.
I'm getting some enjoyment out of it. But here's the thing. It's not that what I'm doing sucks. It's that if I didn't know much about MMOs, I would look and think...
Me?
Yeah.
I would look and think, wow, this is super fun and there's people everywhere. I don't give a fuck. That's what an MMO is. There's like all these environment... Do what?
That I'm not saying, but you're not speaking for me.
No. The environments or whatever, and like, boy, this story is really, really excellent, which, well, I kind of argue that it is. I think it's actually super awesomely mediocre. There are things in it. There are things in the design that I see, and I'm like, yeah, I've seen this before, and I know what happens 6 months from now based on this. You know? Everybody loves the story, but MMOs are about, like, perpetuity, about having a reason to keep wanting to play. And what happens is you're gonna draw that like last sharp breath out of the game's story and just stops. There isn't any more story. You get to the end and it is fucking done. It has nothing else to give you. You now have no choice but to revert back into the standard MMO things. But this isn't a community that likes those things. Everybody's around jerking each other off over what a wonderful story and world this is. And it's like, well, but that doesn't actually sustain a game, you know? And I know that what makes an MMO work is like...
upper levels.
Yeah, and reasons for everybody to keep coming back to that grind every day. Reasons to want to keep up with the things you want to do.
If I do this one more raid, I'll get this and one epic armor, epic weapon.
Sure, but it doesn't even have to be painful like that. You just have to know, God, it's super fun to log in and just jump into the queue and do my dailies. And whoa, there's my dungeon. And jump in the dungeon. Like maybe my axe will drop this time. And that'll be cool. But if it doesn't, at least I've got a few more points to save up towards that new chest piece. You know? And it's fun. And you realize you're just having fun. And in this game, it's almost like it's two different games. And neither one is really servicing everything. And I feel like I've seen this before, and I've seen where these things fail, I've seen where they stumble, you know? It's just experience, and I'm not optimistic. I'm not angry, necessarily, but I'm just not saying... Because if you listen to the language of people who don't want to hear you say bad things about a game they're having fun with, if they acknowledge the problems, they will follow it up with, well, I'm pretty sure they'll fix it. Why? Why do you think that? Do you want me to show you why they won't? Because I can. I can show you historically how difficult it is to fix those things and how long it takes. And that even at a really good clip, it takes a game like, you know, like Rift, fixed a lot of the problems that people hated with the game at launch. It took them like 9 months to do it. You know? You don't get to have that $150.
Yeah.
Of mine, so it is a problem. And all I'm saying is I look at the game now, and based on incomplete evidence, I'm charting its trajectory based on my experience with how MMOs work, which is not insignificant. And I don't see it doing very well at all, and I certainly don't see it satisfying my problems with the game. This is not an MMO gamer's game. Not at all. It's a game for very, very casual people who liked City of Heroes. That's what it is. That's
to why you're a T.
Yeah.
I am their demo. Yay. No, I love the fact that there's an MMO that I can play that isn't City of Heroes. And I love the fact that, you know, you're playing it and I got people at work playing it.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish we were closer in level, because...
Well, and the thing is, I didn't, like, bust... Here's the thing. I took some time off from work to play it, but I did not bust my ass playing this game. The game... I'm sorry, if you know how to play an MMO, the game moves right along. It's all quest-based. You go do quests, and despite what all of the fanatics wanted to say, this game is functionally no different than any other MMO. I walk up to a dude. Now, this guy, there's a guy, right? He's got a triangle over his fucking head. This guy is not going to tell me, you're not about to experience the next great story of your life, okay? The triangle over this guy's head tells you that this motherfucker wants you to pick up 8 droid brains in that next alley you're about to walk into. That's it. That's the only thing that guy wants. Don't fucking fool yourself. He doesn't have anything interesting to say, but he will damn sure take the next 5 minutes to say it. And in the end, all you're going to do is pick up 5 cluster bombs or 8 droid assholes, or you're going to carry this box of stupid animal pieces to this guy over here. You're going to get 6 cat teeth, take it back to this lousy bitch so they can turn it into some spooky Twi'lek medicine for her kid. That's all it is. It is actually the worst form of all MMO quests, disguised by painfully long dialogue sequences. It's not that that's a huge problem, but I don't care. I don't care. There's no way to make me interested in why you want me to pick up 8 droid brains. Particularly when that's all I'm going to do for you. That's it. I'm going to come back, and it's not like, oh, well, it turns out that each of these droid brains contains 1/8 of the greatest puzzle of all time, and we're going to unlock it now, and you're going to be sent away, catapulted off on this amazing adventure. No, he takes the brains and fuck off. Thanks. I don't mind that.
Then he pulls 1 of 3 things and says, pick one.
Yeah.
That's your reward.
And you know what? Most of the time... You don't even necessarily get the option of saying, oh, right, a neat new thing for me, because I have to be responsible and buy some new fucking boots for Corso, my companion, because he's my tank. So at least 1/3 of the time, I don't even get new gear. I have to give it to this piece of shit. Which I don't, you know, it's... I am still playing it. I am still finding some enjoyment in it. I'm looking for the enjoyment, as a matter of fact, is what I'm doing. But I don't want someone to tell me that anything different is happening here. Nothing different is happening here. You've simply disguised it behind the odor of a story, you know? It's like a scented candle or something, right? It's not working for me. And then this amazing story that's all voice recorded, the number of... Again, for the level of the amount of love people shower this game for, because it's so amazing. My dude only ever says like 10 things. Unless it's my story quest, he says the same boring shit over and over again.
Yeah. I have run into some repeats on some of the non-story class story missions.
And isn't it funny how many quest givers are an alien so they can just make him speak the same 5 lines of Hatties?
Yeah. And boy do I skip those more than anything else, because that text stays up on that screen for such a fucking long time for you to read it. It's just
because I don't care. Spacebar. Yeah. And then I'm done.
Our first companion,
Jorgen.
Yeah, in
Lion-O.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lion-O.
He's a cat. What do they call him? Cat something. He's got cat in the name because they're
the voice of that. Is that
Oh, I have no idea.
Timothy,
is that
the guy from Psych? Do you watch Psych?
Nope.
Oh. Not on purpose.
Not on purpose.
If it happens to show up after wrestling,
he also he did the voice of
I don't know.
Nathan Drake. I mean, not Nathan Drake. Sorry.
What?
No, Nathan
Come
Zachary.
On, man. Oh, I see.
Anyway, no, I don't. I have no idea. I got
Nathan
Jennifer.
Zachary should have been Nathan Drake, by the way. If people had bothered to care at all about that series, it could easily have been...
Yeah, he could have.
It was like a stillborn Nathan Drake character or something. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not trying to poop on what other people are enjoying. All I'm saying is the things people seem to enjoy, I look right past, because I'm like, yeah, I get it. It's like a tourist stand to me, you know? I'm happy that you enjoy shopping for bleached sand dollars down at the beach shop, but I don't care. I'm looking for the substance, you know? And I don't actually see it. Just because you've hired a really good voice actor doesn't actually mean that any of this carries me along. And it sure as hell doesn't sustain me at the place I'm going to spend all my time, level 50. And you know, and part of it is I'm just in a bad mood because I've had a hard time finding people willing to, like, engage in group stuff. You want to piss all over WoW from a great height? Fine. You want to talk about how trashy their community is? Fine. They are dicks, but they are absolutely willing to engage in group activity. They are willing to sit around and form raids and go do groups and fucking do all the stuff. And they have mechanisms for doing the workaday level of that stuff. The people in this game, no. It's like they're all forever alone. And they don't actually know what to do when group activity sprouts out of nowhere. I can't, you know, and it's like, I'm sitting around, man, I'm a level 50 gunslinger. My job is to go into flashpoints and fucking kill things. It's all I want to do. But there's
I've run into that with flashpoints. I have not run into that with heroics.
I ran into it with heroics, but I will not blame the game for that. When I was leveling, just because I got in the first day of early access,
right, yeah,
it was me and about a dozen French Canadians. I'm serious. It was the same seven frogs. In every fucking, it's fine. They were all good. I put them all on my friends list.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
They're all great people. Mm-hmm. And I actually, in the game's favor, or in the people, I don't know who to applaud for this. I cannot remember the last time I had such a positive experience with so many people. I didn't run into one stitch of negativity until all you regular workday assholes started showing up. Every ounce of strife and bullshit has come from the mass of people. I didn't run into it once with the group of people that were in early access, you know? Mm. And there were huge problems for that. You couldn't run any dungeons. There weren't enough humans. Like, you couldn't do heroic quests because there were seven whole people on the planet. Mm-hmm. And, like, three of them had already run it, you know?
You could only
and
do like, it once per day.
Two of them were literally way on the other side of the planet or something. And it was like, no, let's just quest and move on, you know? Mm-hmm. And that was a huge problem. But we were all, everybody was like very cool, sharing their knowledge. Like, if somebody was able to get somewhere and help, we were willing to do it. And everybody was just groovy about like gear. And it was like, no, you take this. Like, you know, it's cool. It's like whatever.
Yeah, the friends that I've collected since doing that, random pickups who have just been... There are two or three who, when I see them on, I can send them a little thing, be like, hey, you want to group up? And they're like, sure, where you at? And then they'll do it,
right,
regardless of what's going on. They say, do you have this yet? No, let me share it with you. So we'll go do this stuff together.
If you're in the same place, anybody going to travel over like your planet to do it, you know, necessarily.
Come on, yeah.
Some of them will never see them again when you hit 50.
Some of them will, but I also... Usually, if they're not on my planet, I don't bother asking them because I know they're off doing their own little thing. But yeah, when I do see them on my planet, I'm like, hey, let's group up. You got time? What are you doing? Can we? And they're all for it. Now, I also don't know if that's because my character's a chick, and therefore
this is why this is funny to me. You're actually still operating out of a place where you think anybody gives a fuck what your avatar looks like. That's I swear to, that is a myth from a trillion years ago. Nobody thinks you're a chick and wants to come hang out with you online. They really don't. Nobody, it's a myth. Nobody actually cares.
Okay. But that's just what I said, is that I don't know if that's the case. If that's not the case, then that's fine. But like I said, they've been nothing.
This is a bunch of MMO noobs.
I have never run into a larger group of people who don't know anything about MMOs. I'm glad they're having fun. But it's just like this. This is like building a house, man. Building an MMO works pretty much the same over here as it does over here.
Yeah. I'm just saying that the group of people that
are playing?
That are playing.
Yeah, no, like exactly.
The idea that they might... That they don't care what your avatar looks like might not necessarily hold for this group.
Oh, I see. I haven't picked up on any of it in anywhere, you know. I haven't I haven't. Mm-hmm. They mostly want to fuck their companions. I'm not lying.
Not me.
You know why? Because you ain't leveled up enough, motherfucker. You don't have enough companions. You got like one.
Three.
Oh, you got your trooper. Well, you got a robot.
A robot. I expect you to fuck a robot. The Imperial chick.
Yeah.
And Lionel voice Bron Garrett.
From Nobody cares. But like any of that like weird awkward sexuality is like, when can I romance that? Blah. When you fucking move out.
I was talking to a guy at work about this, was like, oh, because he ran into where he could finally do some flirting with a character. It gave him that option to do the flirt. And
yeah.
It gave me the option to flirt with just this random guy giving me quests. And I wasn't having any of it. I was like, nope, just going to stick straight forward. I got my little companion social points. That was great. Then it gave me the option to flirt with one of my crewmates. And the only thing I thought in my head was, I really don't want to flirt with this guy. Even though my character's a woman, I don't want to flirt with this guy. But it's going to give me some companion points.
If yeah, I do that.
So, boom, boom, boom. Flirt every
Whatever,
time.
He had fucking numbers to get, man.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, here's why I think this is silly. This is the difference between you and me. Those numbers are ridiculously suboptimal. That's not how you get the number. Who gives a shit? You know? Somebody gets pissed off that I do something in a conversation. It's maybe, shut the fuck up. I'm just going to give you a level 5, you know, underworld hit list later, right? Which itself is going to be worth 150 companion points. I can give you 8 of those in a row. You don't give a shit. I'm going to give you presents. Because you're a woman. that's what I'm saying. Like, there's a whole companion gift thing.
Mm-hmm. Which I have not, you guys were talking about this before we got on the show. I have not taken advantage of
it. No, but this is the thing. It's not even like this whole weird arcane thing. There's tons of gifts. They're not hard to get. There's trillions of them out there. You buy a giant stacks of them and go here, 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 here. You would have to fuck up. Like, it's impossible going through the game and doing conversations things to make any... To make even remotely the same level.
We talked about that. It's like you get for
the most people pissed off is -1.
I know.
I'm just telling you, it's not. You can. I don't know what the fuck I did. I space barred through some conversations because I was pissed off at one point, and my Wookiee did like a -250. I was like, I have no idea what the hell I did. I was like, Jesus fucking Christ! Did I offer to sell you? He was fucking angry. But again... You
shouldn't piss off a Wookiee.
No. But again, like, okay, I lost 250 points there, but literally 2 companion gifts, which took a total of a minute to give him because there is a cooldown. I was like, here's this. And this. And it was erased. Like, it was... I had already made up for that. The way that it's calculated with your companions, and they're okay, they're fun, I like them. I mean, I'm a smuggler with a Wookiee, for fuck's sake, it's awesome. But how all of that's balanced around decisions you make is stupid. Because, like I said before, just about all these other systems, there's a built-in, easy mode way to just be like, oh, just do this, and none of this other thing even matters at all. So, flirt, don't. Personally, as my smuggler, it's my job to lay pipe across the galaxy. So I fucking flirt with every... I mean, I don't give a fuck.
Like Captain Kirk over there.
Yeah, no, that's... Well, actually, the rule is that we play it like Commander Riker. So if you're playing like a light side smuggler, you know, like if flirt comes up, you know, it's like I'm on a fraternity hazing or something. If anybody... It's like, I have to do it. There's a fucking rule. This is apparently how a lot of people play their smugglers or their characters in general. But I'm like, nope. Flirt comes up,
my character's one that he flirts with.
No, I mean like chicks in space. Bitches walk up to me in the spaceport and are like, nah, nah, nah. I'm like, all right. Seriously, I'm not kidding. At level 50, without even going out of my way to find weird shit, my smugglers fucked like 15 people. And I don't mean like flirted with. I mean like gone off and had a... Like the screen goes dark and my Wookiee is like, fuck this, I gotta leave the room. I'm not kidding. I'm pretty sure that the smuggler...
And you know that Wookiees have seen things, yeah, man, but they can't take whatever's going on in that.
Yeah, because yeah,
natural.
I was doing it on Alderaan, man, and I like...
Oh, you gotta go?
I gotta go.
I laid into some chick.
Damn, right. It's 9. Shit. I thought you had to leave at 8.
I did, but we started late.
You, okay.
You just have to tell us.
Yeah, yeah, man. Well,
yeah, I mean that's so that shit's at least fun, but and I'm that's just got to be the way it is because of how he's built as a character, and that's, you know, I had a lot of fun with that, but again, it's all done, it's all gone. I'm level 50, and the game doesn't care about my story anymore.
Yeah.
So
well, you know, for me, for the trooper, and he's gonna run into this, and I kind of am spoiling something.
You finished your first chapter, yeah?
Well, yeah, I'm done with Act 1, and Act 1 wraps up.
When do you finish Act 1?
It varies.
It's like early 30s.
Okay.
30
it's
to
usually
32,
early
maybe.
30s. Just if you follow your class progression, then... Where are you going? If you follow your class progression, then there's... was it Alderaan? Yeah, after you're done with Alderaan.
Okay, I just got to Nar Shaddaa, so...
Well, there's a point in the story where it says either go to Alderaan or go to Tatooine. And so I chose to go to Tatooine first, knock that up, and then it's like, or knock that out.
That's the
sorry. knock that out, and then head over to Alderaan. And when I got done with Alderaan, that was the end of, you know, it gives you a little, hey, we got to do this now. And you at the end of your act, you wrap up everything that began when you...
All right.
Fucking started, and I kind of was disappointed. I'm still a little disappointed with that. They still give you stuff to do. They start a whole new story.
Yeah, that's actually how it. That's exactly what happened with the smuggler.
But it doesn't have that weight.
You wrap up like a giant fucking thing, and it's like yeah, and it's like now this thing, and I'm like,
I have a complete lack of motivation to do what I'm doing right now. Whereas before, it was a personal vendetta to get them motherfuckers. And now I've gotten them. And now it's like, okay, well, you did great. And they promote you, and then you get to assign, you know, your lieutenant, your first lieutenant and everything.
There's almost no carryover from the Chapter 1 story to the Chapter 2 story.
Done. And so now it's like, okay.
She's like, now, for me, just to give you an idea, and I'm assuming everything follows roughly the same type of deal.
I'm curious.
Chapter 1 was this thing, right? And... There was I don't know, if anybody got a smuggler, cover your ears or whatever. It was really cool, you know, and you're off, like, looking for this treasure and everything, and it's really awesome. You got the motherfucker in your, shit in your cargo bag.
Mm-hmm.
RJ, take care.
All right, y'all be signed up. Mm-hmm.
See you again. Hello. Later.
There.
That all gets, like, wrapped up, and, like, you learn, like, who dude is, and then, like, who... the girl is that's with you. Like, you learn what that is, you know, you learn who those people are, and then nothing ever happens with it, you know. She's part of your crew, and then all this really cool, amazing thing that she could be about, she's not really about. It's just not, it's not really there, you know. And the story that they send you on from there is the story you have until you're 50, and it's like, and so at the end of the game they tried to play it off like, see this thing you did? This is the culmination of all you've been working toward. And yeah, it's a big moment. You know, you get like screenshot moment with your whole crew behind you and everything. And I'm like, but it's not. This is only what I've been working on since level 35. You know? You've split me right down the middle, and the one thing has nothing to do with the other. I don't really feel like this was a...
I swear, I thought that my storyline was... And it was progressing great. I was... There was this team that I had to go seek out and pretty much fucking either bring to justice or kill.
I've killed Neels.
And at each of... I think I've killed every single motherfucker that because of what they... As I knew. You don't get to survive this from what you put me through. But your progression was... It felt like every planet's final story in that class was one of these members that you were tracking down. And I thought, that's good enough to get me through. And I thought, this is going to go, all right, this is good. And then it stops.
It's just done. It's just like, I know. And you're done.
And I was like, motherfucker. Seriously, I'm playing right now to get up to 50 with him, and just because I've put this much time into this guy, and I mean,
yeah,
I need to get a character to 50 so we can mess around with. He doesn't have anybody except for one, I think, over on the Imperial side.
Well, and that's another thing, is where everybody's like, oh, I'm playing my imp, now I'm playing this guy. All those people that I had on my friends list, probably 24 people that I was like kind of leveling up in the same range as, I don't see any of them anymore. Almost every one of them hit 50, either quit playing, which I don't think is likely, or started an alt.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well,
just like you did.
No, the reason I...
But you did it because...
The reason I started that other alt is because you got bored on your main. And you're like, hey, let's go play our alts over here. And I'm like, well, okay, I'll go play with you. We'll do a thing together. But I'm the level 50 guy that I want to start doing some stuff with. But whatever, I'll take a couple days and we'll go over and play this. But you were the one that was bored and wanted to go over to the Imperial side. Now I'm playing another alt because, fuck you people, if nobody will start a goddamn group, it's almost impossible to start a group as a DPS. So I'll go back to what I've always known. I'll roll a goddamn tank and start my own fucking group so that I can at least see the content.
Yeah.
Instead of having to sit around and try to drag people onto the dance floor.
That's what I'm discovering by playing an imp, because I picked a tank.
Your shadow, yeah.
And I'm enjoying so much more.
Assassin.
Assassin. I'm enjoying so much more playing as a tank, because as a commando DPS in my mid-30s now, it's not that easy to solo some of this stuff. Unless I'm playing him wrong,
I guess. You are playing him wrong. I cannot, based on everything I've seen and based on everything I know, that is probably the most soloable class configuration in the game.
You are a tank in your main
partner. Well, you have a tank.
Yeah.
As a you do DPS yourself. You have a tank as a companion character.
And you heal.
And you can heal. There's almost nothing you can't do. You want to talk about fucking getting your junk munched on? Like, as a pure DPS character, I either had to choose a healing companion if it was something that I, you know, we're talking about difficult stuff here. A healing companion, if I thought he could heal me through whatever it is, but I can't tank, I'm wearing medium armor. I got no tanking, I got no defense. You know, I'm a DPS character. Or I could choose a tank companion to hold the aggro, but I can't help him. I can't throw even a little heal on him to keep him alive while I'm doing my DPS. The only option is to kill fast. And I do kill fast. Gunslinger's mean. But I can't deal with things. And like, my friend Charlie is playing a Vanguard.
Yeah. The tank side of...
Right. Troopers. And it's kind of the same thing, just flipped the other way. He has a healing companion, and he just goes in there, mows shit down, and he gets healed. Basically, all you have to do is play it the other way. Have a tanking companion.
And our droid, I guess our droid is our tank.
Your droid is your tank.
Yeah.
I have seen, by the time I got to Voss, which is a bit later, by the time I got there, I was watching commandos just fucking destroy things.
I need to start playing with him more. I played with him a few times back when I first got him.
Well, who do you play with? What do you play with? Just a DPS? I mean, it matters. What your companions are matter. What kind of thing they are matters immensely, because they may be people you like, but they're designed to fill a role.
They're filling a role, yeah, I understand.
And I have seen nothing better at soloing by itself than a commando.
Well, I tell you this, I'll put more time into the tank, but I haven't played with the tank at all. I played a few times, but it didn't seem like it was doing anything, because I attacked.
What level is he? The assassin.
Oh, my assassin? He's...
Your tank.
15.
Oh, okay. He's not even a tank yet.
Yeah. No, he's 15. I'm talking about over the...
Oh, your tank companion?
My tank companion. Like, I was playing with him, and he would not... I'd attack, and I'm waiting for him to, like, do something, and he didn't really do anything.
Well, you have to check whether he's in defensive stance, or you have to see whether you've got him on passive or something. Probably not. If he's
I didn't have it on passive, but he does have two other.
Yeah, if he's not in defensive stance, he's not going to be. The tanks have like a defensive stance and then like a DPS stance.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a DPS stance, it boosts his damage output, but specifically lowers his threat.
He must have been in DPS because he was not getting in there. He was firing from.
Yeah.
Away.
It doesn't matter where he is as long as he's drawing aggro.
Yeah.
Like Corso, who is the range tank for the first guy you get for the guns for the smuggler, he shoots guns, but he's still a tank, so he'll hold the aggro. Even though he's shooting at a distance.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the things this game actually does pretty well, is give you like a ranged tank type of thing. So
I've been using a Lino a lot.
What is he?
DPS.
Yeah, he's the main companion I've been using.
He's a DPS.
Right. Yeah. I was trying to get him to.
Oh. Yeah, the first companion.
He's a guy.
You're a DPS. Like the first companion you get is a DPS.
No, it matters like. What are you? Are you a commando?
You're a commando, just like me.
All I'm saying is, it actually is an extraordinarily powerful class to solo.
Well, I need to explore with him more. I just haven't. I just kind of put him aside and said, yeah. And I'm making progress with Jorgen. I'm making progress with Dorne as a healer until that all stopped, which was when one of my missions had me go kill three fucking elites.
Can't you also like stun things? You should be able to CC things with a stun.
No, these were just single elites. These weren't grouped elites or anything. It was just one.
Yeah, but can you not still like stun them?
Just a little bit of time, not much.
I don't know.
Until you hit them?
I can stun him, but...
Is it an out-of-combat thing?
Yeah, I can stun him and then focus on other people while he's stunned. Okay, but if I attack after the stun...
Right. It's in, like, a full immobilization
thing. Yeah, it negates it. It doesn't... Yeah, it brings him out of it.
Yeah, see, like, my gunslinger's only got one kind of crowd control, and it only works on droids. So...
Damn.
Which it's 100% on them. This is a full, full crowd control, but it only works on droids. The scoundrel has other things, but not the guns.
I also haven't been doing much on equipping those guys other than what drops or what's been given to
them. If you're not doing that, then you're really fucking yourself.
Yeah.
You know? They're not window dressing, and that's a problem for me. Is that you're nothing. Your character, he's shit. Your character's shit. Your character can't do anything without a companion. And your character can't do anything without... after a certain point, a moderately well-equipped companion.
Right, right, yeah.
You know? And they've got to be the right companion for the right job.
Because think about it already, my tank, I haven't given him shit. I haven't been playing with him. Anytime the option comes up to select this reward for your droid there, it's like, well, I'm not playing with him, so I pick the thing for Jorgen. Or if it doesn't do anything, I'm picking the...
I don't even pick...
I always get the commendation.
I always go for the commendation. I don't ever pick the drop box.
Once you get plenty of socketed gear, you just pick all the commendations and then go upgrade your gear at the commendation vendor. And then all your gear is awesome again.
Yeah.
And then just make sure you also get some stuff for your dudes.
So I think that's probably what I'll do when we get done with Shadow Knight. I'll probably go and spend a lot of time and like equip my guys and do it because I got the money for it.
Yeah. You don't want to blow too much money, but you can go to the auction house, buy your guy, and then spend some real time trying to play with the guy. Because if you're talking about a difficult situation, now if you're just rolling through like some normal, dumbass, custard-headed quest mobs, who gives a fuck, I can do it with Risha, who is a sniper, so she's essentially just my gunslingers, because it's just extra DPS, fine. But if I'm really dealing with some shit, it matters which companion you have. And since you can DPS, since you're a DPS spec character who has all of his basic heal abilities, or at least some, your tank is going to get the job done.
Yeah.
And that's what you want to do for difficult fights. Otherwise, you're just going to get you're going to get destroyed.
I'll damn sure look into that too. That'll help immensely.
But I mean, that's day one MMO stuff, And neither one of you is looking at it like that. Which I'm not. I'm not saying you're bad. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that's an example of how stark the difference between how you look at the game and how I look at the game is. you look at it and it's like, oh, I'm having a little trouble with this. And I'm like, well, it's because you're playing wrong, you know? You're playing toward the way they've incentivized you to play. I like this guy as my companion, so I want to play with him. I like him. Well, yeah. Fuck you. It doesn't matter. He sucks at this thing you need.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't have any companion points toward the droid just because I don't use them.
It's fine. You can fix that with almost no effort whatsoever and very little money. And it'll be fine. Don't worry about making the conversation decisions. Or, you want to fix that? Go solo Essilis and figure out which decisions he likes and just make those decisions over and over again. Hmm. Go solo the old dungeon, which you can easily do.
Yeah.
And make those decisions. He'll like you for it.
Good idea.
Yeah.
That's a good way to train him, too. It's a good way to figure out, like, get the best position. Figure out, okay, get in this stance and just kind of... Well, because over time, obviously, you develop a way of that you use your powers. Of like, okay, I'm going to go in there. First thing's this, second thing's this.
Called the rotation.
Yeah, the rotation. I haven't really played with him, so I can figure out the rotation that I use for him.
When he's doing it?
What he does. Yeah. You know, be like, okay.
Basically, just check his shit out and be like, you know, get in your defensive stance if you have one. Make sure he's in it, because there's a bug at the moment that causes certain companion skills to turn off.
Damn.
Corso has this thing. He's a ranged tank, so he's always standing next to me. We'll start a fight, and he'll start pulling aggro from range. But he's got this thing, he's got a grappling hook. I think you guys, maybe the Vanguard has it and you don't.
I think Vanguard
I've seen it.
But Corso has it. He'll, like, you know, get over here, he'll scorpion him and pull him in. Well, the problem is, he stands, like, back to my left, back here. And I'm crouched behind cover. And when he pulls them, and now they're right here.
Behind you.
Slightly behind me and next to me.
Yeah.
Which isn't... My guy will still turn and shoot, but the way cover is designed is it works in a frontal cone. So now he's not where I want him to be, you know? So I need to kind of reposition. And I want to just turn that off permanently, but it doesn't. It'll always re-enable no matter what you do. I think some of the companions have something similar with their skills. So it could be a stance issue. I don't know. Put him in defensive stance. Go find a group of bad guys on the planet that you're on and be like, go get those guys. And he'll go in there and rah! And then you just shoot them. Do all your AoE stuff and just fucking obliterate everything. Throw a heal on him. Keep going.
That's going to be fun if that works for me. Spigot sent us a tweet. This is the last tweet that we had. It says, Imperial Agent, great class or the greatest class?
Second greatest class.
Behind?
Smuggler. They're the same class.
I was going to say.
Only mine gets laid all the time and has a cool ship.
Well, wait, what are
actually,
you...
theirs actually has an extraordinarily cool ship.
Oh, you're Bounty Hunter on the Imperial side.
Yeah. They have the two best ships in the game.
I thought Bounty Hunter and Smuggler would kind of be the same.
Yeah.
I thought those would be the opposites of each other.
In terms of... outside of gameplay mechanics... gameplay mechanics-wise, they're not. The Bounty Hunter is the trooper in terms of raw mechanics, in terms of like what your skills do. The Bounty Hunter has the Mercenary, which is the Commando, and the Power Tech, which is the Vanguard. And that's the way it is. But in terms of everything else, in terms of story progression and how they kind of fit into the universe, they are the Smuggler. They are an outside agent in service of these people. You know, I'm only in it for the credits, but... whatever, you're paying the bills, so I'll do what you want.
Yeah.
Which is fun. Bounty Hunter, in my opinion, is probably the best realized class in the game. The way that... think of like all the things your guy does, like all the gimmicks and things that make up all of your abilities and your skills and shit. To me, they seem very awkward in the Trooper. You know? The Trooper should be a much simpler thing. Just shoot. It shouldn't have like a... I don't like the idea of a tank or a healing role in the Trooper, necessarily. And it fits weird. I don't really like it in the Bounty Hunter. But the way all of the Bounty Hunter's gimmicks and weapons and everything work together are awesome. Like, little tiny missiles on, like, his gauntlets and, like, little flamethrowers that come out of his little bracers and, like, little jet things in his boots and jet pack with, like, a little rocket that comes out of it and... all of those things, you know. And so, like, when I immobilize somebody and stun them as a bounty hunter, it's carbonite. You know, it's all very well put together in that respect. And they look really, really good. So Agent's pretty good, but I don't like the scoundrel slash operative either. I don't like that crap. A lot of people really like that. I don't like it. I like the gunslinger slash sniper.
I think when I do an Imperial Agent, Imperial, I'm going to go with a Chiss.
That's what mine is. Mine's a Chiss. It's fucking great. I think it's a great choice.
Is that a race or a class?
Yeah, it's a race. The blue one to the red eyes.
Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Mm. Yeah.
What are you going for as far as...
What would you do? Would you do operative or sniper?
Not 100% sure yet.
There were a lot of, you know...
When you reach level 10, and, you know, for me, it's like, you know, all right, you're level 10, you have the choice. All right, what do they do? Yeah. Oh, here's the choice.
Yeah.
All right, I'm kind of curious on what this does.
But what do they do? That. This one wears heavy armor.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, but...
They didn't go into it enough about like.
I think it's a stupid thing. I think that this, the only do you know why they did that? They're eight classes. They're nothing alike. You think the scoundrel and the sniper are anything alike? Jesus Christ, no. Or the shadow and the sage, they're almost not even identifiable as the same class. The reason they did it is because they only wanted to tell you four stories instead of eight. Or rather, eight instead of 16.
Right.
They did it so you'd have to share the same story. But your class is nothing alike.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. I don't want to say it's laziness because I don't want to... You only made eight fully voiced stories. You're lazy. I'm not gonna do that. But that's exactly what it is. Because the classes are extremely distinct.
Yeah.
So, but it's frustrating because it's like, oh, I think I want to do this. Well, you don't really want to do that.
You should be thinking about a legacy now.
Yeah, I'm not even sure what, I mean, any of them. Yeah, start looking into that.
You should. Because that little fucking
prompt. Game's going to bother you every that prompt 5 gets seconds annoying. Until you do.
If you don't pick a legacy name, every time you log in, every time you look at your skill tree, every time you level up, every time you load from one area to another, every time you reset the UI, which is often, it's going to
flash up and
cover and say, "Hey, don't forget me! Pick a name!" And it's like, "Oh Jesus!" So it took me a while, but it didn't take long for that shit to pop in to be like, "All right, fine, I'm just picking this fucking name. Go the hell away from me. Stop bothering me." And you know what? After I picked it, don't care anymore. It took me forever to decide to actually settle on that name. Because I was like, oh, this is an important choice. After I picked it, I don't fucking care. So,
but it's the only one you get.
It is the only one you get. Until
and
they
that
figure
will be
out
the
way
last to... name of every character on the server for you.
I didn't choose that. I just chose to have it display as the Mobius Legacy.
All I'm saying is you don't get to do it every time your guy...
Right, no, yeah, guy. That's it.
When you make the choice, that's it.
So next character will be that name. And
yeah, when you roll a character at level 1, it'll be, you know, whatever bullet food. Or blah blah the bullet food legacy, or whatever the fuck you choose. Like, so
even on the Imperial side.
Yeah.
So
that's actually a thing that bothers me a little bit, is that the legacy system has absolutely no features in it right now.
We don't know what the fuck it does.
No, but we do know originally it was supposed to tie back into other... as an example, we don't know this was for sure, but one of the things was, hey, well, you know, maybe once you reach a certain legacy level, when you roll a new character, you'll, like, people of legacy level whatever will be able to roll, you know, Lion-O, whatever those guys are, cat guy, as a race.
Mm.
Okay, that's really good, but the longer you wait to implement legacy features, the less I'm going to be able to use them. I'm going to have already rolled my alts, you know? So if everything is focused more toward benefits you'll get on new characters, they really shouldn't have left it out. It was a huge selling point of the game, as a matter of fact. And it's not even in the game. I don't know. It's got a little bit of time, okay? It's got some time before anybody else has anything else in the world to give a shit about. Seriously. but
February apparently, no, yeah. from what we're getting.
Well, I mean, I'm not gonna. The live team is actually being very good. They have an enormous number of updates planned, and they've been updating at a okay pace. They were really slow over the holidays, but it's a holiday.
It was a holiday. Yeah.
I post our fucking shows over the holidays, so let's call it even. but they need to get on the fucking ball and get some updates out the door, and at least show some work. Show some proof of concept that you're doing a couple of things about the design problems a lot of the players are having. Otherwise, it, you know, by the time you reach the 60-day mark from launch, well, first off, in another 2 weeks,
well, if in a month,
people will have to decide whether or not they're going to actually subscribe to this game.
Yeah.
And you're going to see a big drop-off. And then another month after that, for people like me who are like, no, I'm definitely in for it.
I'll get more than $15 for this.
Yeah. Sure, yeah, I'll get a little more out of it. After that point, it's like, it's not where am I now, right? It's not a presidential election. Am I better off now than I was then? Mm-hmm. It's, do I think I'll be better off in a month than I think I am now? Do I believe that you're working on something that will excite me? We'll see. They're in for a hard time. I can promise you that much. They're in for a really hard time.
And with that, I think we may be done with
this. And we're done.
Yeah, I think we're done.
Okay, good.
Yeah.